Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Tuesday, January 14th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a proposed bill that would ban flavored vaping products heads to Governor Phil Murphy's desk for a signature. The Democratic-led Senate passed the bill 22-15 with the Democratic-controlled Assembly voting 53-11 with eight lawmakers not voting on the measure that bans e-cigarette flavors, including any fruit or candy, among others. Lawmakers say the flavors are meant to hook young people who are using the products in increasing numbers. Opponents of the legislation, who crowded part of the state house complex Monday, say officials should better enforce the smoking age instead of barring of age adults from buying products they enjoy using. The smoking age in New Jersey is 21. Governor Murphy has been supportive of the idea of a flavored ban, but his office didn't respond when asked how they'd handle the legislation. Massachusetts is the only other state with the statewide ban on flavors, according to the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. Although eight states have enacted emergency regulations to halt the sale of flavored vaping products. The rules face legal challenges and are in effect in only three states, according to the campaign: Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Washington. CDC officials said that they have narrowed in on a culprit, a chemical compound called vitamin E acetate, that have been found in the lungs of some sick patients and in the products they use to vape. Vitamin E acetate is a thickening agent that has been added to illicit high-inducing vaping liquids. And now, speaking of that, state police say that they are filing charges against two teenage girls who allowed a 2-year-old boy to inhale from a vaping device while they were babysitting him. The 18-year-old and 17-year-old girls are being charged with endangering the welfare of a child. The teens recorded the incident and posted it on Snapchat. Police say the incident happened while the 17-year-old girl was babysitting the child last Thursday evening at a home in St. Clair Township, Westmoreland County. State police were alerted to the Snapchat video by a tip sent to the state's Safe to Say Something program. According to police, the 2-year-old boy took the device from the nightstand. Police say the young women allowed the child to inhale from it while they recorded the incident. The video clip appears to show the child coughing, falling down, and crying. The girls can be laughing in the background. I think we just have a little clip of that.
Jesus.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
Isn't that the word? Like, just that little cough. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
You guys ever seen video footage? It's somewhere in the East where it's a kid who's like 5 years old smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
chain smoking.
I mean, looking like an adult.
Blowing smoke rings.
Smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Lighting them up himself.
Yeah.
Very bizarre.
Yep.
So it just made me think of that. But this is obviously a different thing. A 2-year-old child who they're... Yeah, that's terrible.
State police say other than the coughing, the child did not display any other visual effects from inhaling from the device, which contained 3% nicotine and no THC. Investigators say that the boy's parents have been notified along with Children and Youth Services. The investigation continues, but the two girls are being charged with endangering the welfare of a child. Police in Bucks County are investigating after the abrupt closure of a wedding venue. The barn at Forestville on Forest Grove Road in Buckingham Township closed their doors with no warning. Right now, police in Bucks County are asking couples who were set to get married there to get in touch with them to determine if the abrupt move is a crime. One bride says that she and her fiance signed their contract at the Forestville barn in September of last year. They paid $2,000, one-third of the cost. She said the owner failed to tell her that he was having legal trouble. According to Buckingham Township officials, the owner of the Forestville barn, Lonnie Plummer, agreed to close his business at the end of 2018 because it wasn't zoned as a public venue and neighbors had complained about noise. But he continued to operate into 2019 and kept taking deposits for weddings stretching into 2020. On December 31st, a court officially ordered Plummer to close. Plummer apparently promised to refund the couple's money back in September, but they say they haven't seen anything yet.
Oops.
She said at first he had an excuse after excuse, even claiming that the check got lost in the mail, but then later admitted that he didn't have the money. Buckingham Township police are afraid more consumers will be impacted by the closure. They just don't know it yet. Detective Tim Johnson is asking affected customers to please contact him immediately at the Buckingham Township Police Department.
There's such a meticulous amount of planning that goes into a wedding, and when something like this happens, whether it be like a wedding dress place goes out of business, it's just you can imagine the level of panic in these people. It's just off the charts.
Well, and this one bride that ABC talked to, she was ordering her invitations to send them out. So it was like right at the point where it was getting sent out, and fortunately she figured it out before
that
happened.
In the building here next to Cho's, the little convenience store.
I mean, it's pretty big there.
Yeah, you could probably handle a few people.
Is that room down there?
Yeah.
We've had conferences there before.
Why not? If you need a temporary fix, and Cho's can cater it, if you don't mind Twizzlers and tampons.
Twizzlers and tampons.
Yeah. Tampons is the party favors.
Yeah. Right,
Twizzlers
exactly.
is a nice little,
other
appetizer.
Stuff, yeah.
Buckingham Township has also sued Plummer for about $84,000 in zoning fines, but he has appealed that. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Flyers came all the way back from a 5-2 deficit to beat the Boston Bruins, winning 6-5 in an overtime shootout.
They did it!
Travis Sanheim timed the game in the third period, and Travis Konecny was the only player to score in the shootout as the Flyers earned the win. The comeback began with a Sean Couturier goal, 6:48 to play, followed by one by Connor Bunneman 90 seconds later. After a scoreless overtime, Konecny scored in the fifth shootout round, while Carter Hart stopped all of the shots in overtime and the shootout for the win. The Flyers are on the road tomorrow night with the game in St. Louis against the Stanley Cup champs. T.J. Warren blocked a potential go-ahead three-pointer with 29 seconds left, and the Pacers scored the final 7 points for a 101-95 win over the Sixers last night in Indiana. The Pacers are now have now beaten the Sixers twice in 14 days and hold the number 5 spot in the Eastern Conference standings. A half a game ahead of the Sixers. They're back home tomorrow night with the game against the Brooklyn Nets, and tip-off is at 7 o'clock. Joe Burrow ended his Heisman-winning season by bringing a national championship to LSU. Burrow threw 5 touchdown passes, ran for another score, and led the top-ranked LSU Tigers to a 42-25 win over number 3 Clemson last night in college football playoff finals. And in baseball news, Houston Astros general manager Jeff Leno and manager A.J. Hinch were fired by owner Jim Crane after Major League Baseball's announcement of discipline following the sign-stealing scandal. A league investigation confirmed the Astros cheated by using a camera-based sign-stealing system during the regular season and playoffs of their World Series-winning 2017 season and during part of the 2018 regular season. Leno and Hinch were suspended for the 2020 season, but Crane, the team's owner, said the team wanted to go beyond the ruling. At a press conference, Crane said neither one of them started this, but neither one of them did anything about it. We need to move forward with a clean slate.
That's pretty wild.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thanks a bunch, Kat. So we are prepared for some money again today. We're giving cash away left and right. We start it. Easy Money is the name of the promotion, and it happens 5 times a day. We get the honor of kicking that off around 8 a.m. Actually, at 8 a.m. is when we will do that. So get yourself set for $1,000 in cash. And then if you watched Dr. Oz yesterday, you could win yourself $500 around 9:30. We'll ask a question about yesterday's show on Dr. Oz and see if you can answer it and grab that cash. We also have Tattoos Day today.
Yeah.
Chance to win a free Preston and Steve tattoo from world famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. And it's a $350 gift certificate. And you got to get a Preston and Steve themed tattoo. So if you're interested, text the word tattoo to 39333, and we will see if you win later on. By the way, the 22nd annual Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention is coming this weekend at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. So that's a big deal. You can visit villainarts.com for all the information.
It's huge.
That is taking place, and the Geeter is stopping by, Jerry Blavitt. Jerry comes by every year.
You gotta love the Geeter.
He always has a big concert he wants to promote. He's such a personality and such a tied in individual to this city. So we love having him by. By the way, they're doing a disco show.
There you go.
Which should be pretty interesting. I'm curious as to the acts that are going to be on board for this show, which will be January 25th. And that will be at the Kimmel Center. So the Geeter stopping by this morning. High energy, as always, I'm sure. So these things and more are taking place during our span of time on the radio this morning. We hope you'll stick with us. We'll take a break. Come back in a second. I got a load of entertainment stories, as always, and a stupid question with some stuff for you to win. Don't go far, because we'll be back in just a moment.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
For the stupid question, we will give away a 4-pack of tickets for the worst case scenario survival experience, which is now at the Franklin Institute. The question I have for you this morning. So, Florida, the alligator is their official state reptile.
Yes.
There are two other states in the union that have the alligator as their official state reptile. Hmm. Name one of those and you get the prize.
Wow.
215-263-WMMR. So other than Florida, name one of the two U.S. states that has the alligator, the American alligator, as their official state reptile. Call right now, 215-263-WMMR is the number. A lot of celebrity birthdays on January 14th. We'll begin with a big one in the world of rock and just commenting on his major influence passing, Neil Peart. It is Dave Grohl's birthday today. He is celebrating his 51st birthday. Foo Fighters are currently writing and recording new music, so we will have that out this year, which is cool.
What a stellar career he's had when he was, you know, originally just, well, not just, but the drummer for Nirvana. Who knew when he stepped out in front that he'd be this force? He's one of the forces that I think has helped to keep rock alive.
I would agree with you on
celebrating
that.
Celebrating it.
Yeah, they play pretty straight-ahead rock music, and I love it. And he's a rock fan of all rock genres, which is impressive. And then what he's gone on to do with the documentary, the Sound City stuff. And
love it.
It's impressive. He's just a great ambassador for the format.
So. And barbecuing, too.
That, too. It's his big-time passion.
Yes, who knew?
He's 51 years old today. Would love to talk to him. Met him way back when, back in the early days of Foo Fighters. Nice guy, but I'd like to meet him again after all these years and all this success. Caleb Folwell, the singer and guitarist for Kings of Leon, is 38 years old today.
Solid band. All the Calebs are married to supermodels, right? Aren't they?
I know one of them for sure. Yeah. I don't know, but he is 38 today, and I'm sure he's a happy boy. Also, a guy who's been here before. There's a lot of music birthdays today. Zakk Wylde, guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
Black Label Society is 53. He is a big and imposing individual.
With a belt buckle bigger than Elvis's belt buckle.
Yep. Nice enough guy. And he's a bit of a badass. And he's a great guitar player, too. So he's 53 years old today. Another group that was in our studio. So this singer was here. Jeff Tate of Queensryche. Is 61 years old today.
Little disappointed by him.
Yeah.
A lot disappointed because he was supposed to do this song. This song was promised, and he purposely didn't. Yeah. So I'm very disappointed.
Curse him to hell.
He's known to be...
Mercurial?
Kind of a jerk.
All right.
I don't know what mercurial means, but I'll
moody.
Say sure.
Yeah.
Yes, he's... he's known to have a bit of an ego, too, but... What a voice in the world of metal. He's a great singer. He's 61 years old today. LL Cool J is celebrating his 52nd birthday today.
And the LL stands for Ladies Love?
Ladies Love Cool James is what LL Cool J means, yeah. Really cool guy, a talented musician, and has gone on to be a great host.
Actor.
Yeah.
He's solid. I honestly dismissed him quickly when he came on the scene. Now I love him. I think he is a really talented, smart guy.
Dude's in great shape.
He's
too,
super
always.
Good shape, yeah.
He's jacked. So 52 years old today, LL Cool J. Actress Emily Watson, who's been in everything from Gosford Park to Red Dragon, Chernobyl, she was in, Steve.
She was excellent. That's next up on your party list, Preston. Yeah, Chernobyl. Party. Big, fun, very much in the spirit of Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
No, it's a downer in many ways, but it is so powerful.
It's got to be.
And
she's
actually playing an amalgamation of multiple scientists.
Okay.
So she stands for a lot of people who did some really noble Chernobyl work.
She's a composite character of sorts.
That was good.
Thank you.
She's 53. Actor Kevin Durand who's been in a bunch of stuff. He's a very large guy. X-Men Origins Wolverine. He played the Blob.
Yeah.
He was in The Strain. He was also in, I was just watching not long ago the movie Real Steel. It's a guilty pleasure for me, the fighting robot movie.
I love that movie.
And he's kind of the nemesis in that movie.
He also played in a movie I just saw. He played the nemesis to Joe Weider. It's the story of Joe Weider, you know, the bodybuilder who got found, who just discovered Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I remember.
And he was sort of a competing guy. I guess he was playing a real guy.
Okay.
But he is a good character actor, but you're right, Preston. The dude's huge.
Yeah, he's 46 today. Casey, you were just talking about The Outsider, the new show on HBO. It's Jason Bateman's birthday. He's the lead in that.
Yeah.
Who would have thought Jason Bateman back in the early days, when he was just starting out, that he would be as great as he is?
Was it Valerie, the series?
Valerie's family. And then they killed her off, and it was the Hogan
the
family.
Hogans.
Yeah. But he has gone on to do so many great things, and wonderful comedy and excellent drama as well. Arrested Development, Up in the Air, Horrible Bosses. Ozark excellent. Was hugely successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's still going on, right?
Yeah, there's another season coming out.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I thought it was done. Okay.
And so what I didn't know about The Outsider, and they aired the first two episodes on Sunday night. I watched them yesterday. It's dark, and it's good, and I'm hooked, and I'm in. He directed both of those episodes.
Jason Bateman? Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know if he directed the whole series, but, man, he did a great job.
Yeah.
He was really, really...
talented?
Talented, no, but I was just going to say, like, the very, very moody, the first two episodes.
He's 51 today. Speaking of directing, Steven Soderbergh celebrates his 57th.
We were just talking about Behind the Candelabra, Preston, right? He directed that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
The Liberace movie.
Also, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, Aaron Brockovich, Traffic, the Ocean's movies. Faye Dunaway. The great actress, Chinatown. I mean, come on, it's a masterpiece. Bonnie and Clyde.
Mommy
Dearest, for Christ's sake.
She's Thomas Crown Affair, Network.
Yeah.
Great actress.
76 today. And then I saved one of our favorites for last. Well, next to last. Carl Weathers.
Oh!
Apollo freaking Creed. And Action Jackson. And Predator.
And Predator.
Who is he in Predator? Dutch.
He's also...
No, Dutch was Arnold. Right?
Dylan.
There you go.
Dylan. What happened to you, Dylan? But he's also Preston in The Mandalorian.
Oh, is he?
He's excellent.
I watched The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's really good.
Nice. He came by here. We're like, he was so cool.
One of my favorite interviews of all time.
Just the best. He is celebrating his 72nd birthday today.
Still in good shape.
And also celebrating a birthday... Marissa's mom, Conra. Hey! Conra has the birthday. So happy birthday to... without Conra, there would be no Marissa.
That's true. And
without
she
Marissa,
did a good job.
We wouldn't be here. So
she's a very nice birthday. Woman. I love her.
And a coincidence, she at one time dated Carl Weathers.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, he's tied to Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
I can see him being around town. Yeah. And they had a thing, you know.
So it's bound to happen. He's a slick-looking guy.
Happy birthday to Conra. And give Carl Weathers our best. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. So the American alligator is the official state reptile of Florida and also two other states. I want you to name one of the other two states and you'll be good to go. 215-263-WMMR. We're going to go to Dave for the answer. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning.
Dave, can you name one of the two states? Or I see you might even know both of them.
Louisiana and Mississippi.
Yeah, you're right. Down in the bayou. You got it, man. Hang on, Dave. We're going to get your information. We're going to set you over the 4-pack of tickets for the worst case scenario survival experience. And that is now open at the Franklin Institute. You can jump, play, and climb in this kid-friendly experience and build your survival smarts. You can get tickets today at fi.edu. All right, let's get into the entertainment stories. We're going to begin with the royal family as Queen Elizabeth gathered bigwig royals for a summit over Megxit. Prince William and Prince Harry.
We're using it now. It has to be. It works out.
Came out with a rare joint statement about the persistent rumors that they are having a dramatic falling out.
Why don't you buck the system, Preston, and call it Megxergate?
Megxergate. Let's Americanize it just immediately. So despite, here's what the statement says. Despite clear denials, a false story ran in a UK newspaper today speculating about the relationship between the Duke and Sussex and the Duke of Sussex and the Duke of Cambridge. For brothers who care so deeply about the issues surrounding mental health, the use of inflammatory language in this way is offensive and potentially harmful. Royal reporter Rebecca English weighed in on Twitter, writing, "It's clear from my conversations this morning that both brothers are deeply, deeply unhappy about suggestions that Harry feels he has been bullied out of the royal family by William." Reaction to their statement on Twitter from royal watchers was mixed, many applauding them for their transparency and others saying that it was a little too late. Now, the 93-year-old monarch met with Prince Charles, the heir to her throne, and William and Harry to Sandringham House. They went to Sandringham House to sort out the details of this event. She issued a statement after in complete support of their decision, and here is what it had to say. She said, "Today, my family had very constructive discussions on the future of my grandson and his family." She said, "My family and I are entirely supportive of Harry and Meghan's desire to create a new life as a young family, although we would have preferred them to remain full-time working members of the royal family.
Of course, we would have liked it.
We respect and understand their wish to live a more independent life as a family while remaining a valued part of my family."
Don't you think like it's like a little, they got like the big whole wedding and then now they're like, I don't know.
Right.
We're going to walk away
the whole now. The whole official thing. Yeah,
they got... quite literally the royal treatment.
Yeah, and then she's like, yeah, we're done.
I got sucked into a full-blown conversation. There was a feature on one of the news shows last night about this thing, and there's so many different angles to it. The general consensus is you knew what you were getting into, but then there are other people who say, you know, like Princess Diana probably at some point was looking to do something similar to this.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And maybe also because they... because William is, he's going to inherit more, right?
Well, he gets the throne.
He gets the throne. So Harry's probably like, well, we could do this if we want to. I'm not getting anything.
Right, right.
Harry's behind William's kids when it comes to the
correct.
Line of succession.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It has therefore been agreed, the statement continues, that there will be a period of transition in which the Sussexes will spend time in Canada and the UK, she said.
And we're going to give them the Falklands.
These are complex matters for my family to resolve, and there is some more work to be done, but I have asked for final decisions to be reached in the coming days. A major issue is money.
Yes.
Harry and Meghan have said they will no longer use a sovereign grant fund to pay for their office costs, but would still use public money to pay for trips at the request of the government.
He can still keep his bar mitzvah money, right?
They're not Jewish.
Oh.
They also want to remain in Frogmore Cottage with the Queen's permission. Another open question is whether Meghan will be allowed to financially benefit from her celebrity status, acting as a brand ambassador for fashion and fragrance houses like Nicole Kidman and Julia Roberts. Reports indicate she's already lining up potential deals.
Yeah.
And what about security? Taxpayer-funded security for the royals would become extraordinarily expensive if they were to live in North America and the UK. Sources tell ET that Meghan and Harry are looking at places in Canada and Los Angeles that will retain their home in Frogmore and carry out duties in the UK, the source explains, but also spend the majority
of... I wasn't going to put my 2 cents in here.
Oh,
okay. Hey, look, I moved from an entirely different planet and made it work. I think you can, too.
You didn't really make it work. They tried to kill you.
I made it work.
But also...
I'm here talking to you, aren't I?
You're okay.
Yeah.
You win.
So
I'm working for Xfinity.
They will. Yeah, your finger's like fiber optic.
Absolutely,
so,
man.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
So,
I'll come over and finger your TV.
They will retain their home in Frogmore and carry out duties in the UK, sources say. And also, the source says, but spend the majority of their time in North America. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has reportedly privately assured the Queen that his taxpayers will help foot the bill for Meghan and Harry's security while they're in Canada. The family would be protected by Royal Canadian Mounties, guards who represent the Queen in Canada, according to the Evening Standard. So
there's a whole lot to work out here.
Yeah.
And I think this is just step one.
Yeah.
I think also what I read is that the Queen has at least a good part of her agreement or what she would like or wants to happen or will make happen is that they spend more time back in England than they were originally planning. Mm.
All right, so real quick, I mean, how rich is the royal family? We're talking billions, right?
They're super wealthy. Okay. I don't know their exact level of wealth, but, you know, so for example, Meghan and Harry, a large portion of the money they were getting was coming directly from Prince Charles.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What?
$88 billion.
Okay. Wow. So why are taxpayers having to foot the bill here?
That's always been the case.
Yeah.
And it's been a point of contention over the last few decades because taxpayers have footed a lot of the bills of the royal family and they're worth that much money.
Yeah.
So a lot of Brits don't appreciate that.
Yeah. But there's also a lot of tradition that they hold dear and that they want to keep that alive.
Canadians are just going to eat that up too?
I don't know, man.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to American royalty. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow. And her vagina candles.
I don't like a candle made of my vagina.
She has a lot going on between the acting gigs, motherhood, and being a multi-platform goop entrepreneur.
She is a goop entrepreneur.
So perhaps she can be forgiven for forgetting that she starred with Zendaya in Spider-Man Homecoming while hyperventilating about the moment... their moment of fashion twinning. Zendaya wore a hot purple metallic anatomical breastplate by Tom Ford for the 2020 Critics' Choice Awards.
Oh, man!
Rocking several best of dressed looks. And Paltrow rocked the same look on the cover of Harper's Bazaar February issue. So Gwenny commented on Instagram on the shot of Zendaya. She said, "Thank God I can say I have something in common with Zendaya." Seems like she had forgotten that they were in Homecoming together.
Isn't this the second time?
Yeah.
This is an old story. It's an old story reborn.
Yes. Was that Homecoming?
She was talking to somebody. It was Jon Favreau told.
Yeah, but is that what they were talking about, Homecoming? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, she had forgotten she was in Spider-Man.
She forgot,
so that was it, and then so subsequently then it stands to reason she forgot that she was in a movie with Zendaya.
I'm trying to remember what scene she was in
at the last scene where they're gonna when Tony Stark is gonna make good.
Yeah, that's in Homecoming. Okay,
and he goes, "We have a big announcement to make," and then
I just forgot if it was in Homecoming or there wasn't one before Homecoming, right? It was just Spider-Man Homecoming, so it was the same movie that they were talking about with John.
Right.
Okay. Zendaya told ET of her look, "I saw it on the runway and thought it was sick,
thick,
and amazing." Because
Matt Cowper on the runway, wish you're wearing a thick. We're not on the red carpet talking to Zendaya. That's totally thick.
Because they were actually able
breastplate is thick.
To scan
your and skirt is thick.
And mold my own body.
Shoes are thick.
So it fits me the right way, so it's pretty cool, she said.
Thick.
It was a very science tech situation going on, so it was
you see Cowper in the distance running towards the camera.
One of a kind.
Thick!
When he was walking away.
So how would he describe something he doesn't like as not sick or you know, I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I've never heard him he seems to like everything. Yeah.
Healthy,
yeah.
It's very healthy.
She added, "I have definitely had some of my own, like, red carpet moments of having."
Can you speak slow? I'm writing this down.
She added, "of having no regrets about her fashion choices over the years." She said, "Listen, I wouldn't take it back, though, because you have to live and learn, and, you know, and that's okay."
What the?
Hey, don't shoot the messenger.
I know you have this. Is what is the news? You're relaying it. I'm trying to figure out. So we have. So it's like a sentence. We have the noun. We have the. I'm just trying to figure out what happened.
So I like this. This breastplate look thing. That's it's pretty sexy.
It is sexy,
especially
sick.
It is sick. Yeah, but her.
Sick.
I mean, if you're gonna have
sick and sexy,
wear it. Zendaya and Gwenny are two good ones.
What I like about it is that it's soft, sick, and sexy.
It reminds me of something that I can't quite recall. It does look like something they'd wear on...
Star Trek?
Yeah, Star Trek or in Wakanda or something
yes.
like that.
Yes.
You know what it reminds me of?
But a different color. What's
it
that?
It reminds me of the beginning of Daredevil, where that like thing is kind of like... it's like a thing.
the movie or the TV show?
The TV show.
What are you, sick?
We're sick. Where this that liquid thing goes over Lady Justice. And
so it
you
looks
know
like
saying?
Body paint in a way. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Latex.
Yes.
Latex. All right.
We got to the bottom of that.
The circus atmosphere has not dissipated in Harvey Weinstein's rape trial as the search for unbiased jurors continues. And this is pretty wild. Model Gigi Hadid has joined the hundreds of New Yorkers who have sat in front of Judge James Burke and were told that they could potentially serve as jurors.
I think that they would pass on her, probably, right? Wouldn't the defense wave her off because she probably has her own history of dealing with this?
Well, that's the question. So reporters were told not to talk, but were later granted permission to spill the beans. As usual, Burke reportedly asked the 120 potential jurors whether they knew Weinstein, his lawyers, defense attorneys, or any of the people who may be discussed or called on as witnesses. Hadid told Burke that she'd met both Weinstein and Salma Hayek, one of the 80-plus women who accused Weinstein of sexual misconduct. Burke then asked Hadid, is there anything about having met them that makes you unable to be an impartial juror? And Hadid told the judge, I think I'm still able to keep an open mind on the facts. They're just going through the formalities.
Right. So the judge reprimanded her.
He's not going to say, get out of here.
Get out of here.
You know, she's just answering. They're asking the question. She's answering it. So the case could run for 2 months in court. Yeah, more than likely she's not going to be picked
to
be on the jury.
I can't imagine any defense lawyer saying, yeah, we'll go with her.
Those who have not been dismissed for personal conflicts or health reasons were told to return Thursday for the more formal voir dire process. So Burke informed jurors Monday that some potential jurors had discussed the case on social media despite his instructions.
Can't
he said
do that.
That there could be consequences. He said, let me tell you, they may be held in contempt of court and face serious consequences and up to and including 30 days in jail and a significant fine. So don't do that. Stop being that.
Stop being that. Yeah. Will the judge allow you to talk about the case on some forms of social media, like TikTok or something?
Maybe they'll allow Grindr or, yeah. I mean, you know, I know it's a gay dating app, but could talk about it.
Talk about it.
You know. Stranger Things star Millie Bobby Brown appeared to confirm her rumored romance with Joseph Robinson. He is 17 years old and the son of England World Cup rugby champ Jason Robinson.
Wow. How old is she?
She is 16, maybe. You know what, Nick? Can you look that up, Millie Bobby Brown?
It's weird to think of her the way she looked when we first saw her in the series, and now she's a woman.
She has blossomed into a very pretty young lady. He shared a picture of them on his Snapchat. In the shot, they embrace for a mirror selfie, and he captioned it LYX, which means love you on the internet.
Love your xylophone.
And he also appeared to share a picture of them on his Instagram stories. While they haven't confirmed their romance publicly, they have been spotted out and about, and she joined him and his family for a vacation in the Maldives in November. How old is she?
She turned 16 next month.
So. Okay.
Oh, my God.
She's 15.
Still 15.
All right,
she was born in 2004.
Yeah. Plus, when Joseph signed his own first rugby contract in December, she commented on the post and wrote, "Yes."
Thick.
With a red heart emoji, by the way.
Does anybody follow Cowper on Snapchat?
No.
It stuns me how mature and...
For 15?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Felicity Huffman is still doing community service after serving 11 days of time behind bars for her role in the college admissions scandal. The 57-year-old was seen chipping away at her 250 hours of court-mandated service at the Teen Project in L.A.
They had her doing a scared straight session, Preston, with the convicts.
She goes into prison?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, her daughter, Sophia Macy, scored her first post-scandal acting role in the second season of Jordan Peele's CBS All Access Twilight Zone reboot.
Huh.
The 19-year-old is set for an episode called Among the Untrodden with Abby Hearn.
There's that one community service thing where you go and you pick up trash. That I like that little device that they use.
I have one.
Do you really?
I actually have two.
I kind of want one.
They're really cool. When you're not using it to pick up trash, it's a cool spear. So I have an archery target.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to see, well, what if I were on an island and I had to spear my own food? And you practice.
Casey, you're just talking about a pole with a...
with the little tip on it?
Tip on it, yeah.
Okay.
Didn't you have to do that in the Keys, or was that a friend of yours?
No.
For underage drinking?
No, but it wasn't me, but people that I went to college with.
I thought there was a story associated with you going to the Florida Keys, where they're really strict about underage drinking there.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody that you were with got busted for it or something like
Nobody
that?
Nobody that I was with that I recall. But I know that it happened. I want to say the year my brother went. That was the year that his friend passed out on the beach and got sunburned on the top of his feet. Yeah. So
memories, right?
Yeah. Oh, good times. Good times.
I'll never forget. Anyway, Case, I bought mine on Amazon. Yeah. They're easy to get.
All right. Bachelor in Paradise star Dean Unglert has had a not so fabulous start to 2020. After traveling to Switzerland for a snow-filled holiday, he landed in the hospital and was left fighting for his strength after he dislocated his hip and fractured his femur.
I saw the tease for this on the news.
Thankfully, girlfriend Kaylin Miller Keys was by his side.
I love you.
Whom he thanked on Insta next to a sweet shot of them together.
I thanked you on Insta.
During healthier days.
Graham.
He wrote... Back in the States, after an unfortunate turn of events in Europe...
We were in Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Yeah.
It would have been a whole lot...
Where were you?
Switzerland.
It would have been a whole lot worse without my primary...
And I thought, what if I had fallen off a mountain? That would have hurt.
You kind of did fall off a mountain.
Sort of.
He said, it would have been a whole lot worse without my primary caretaker there to change my smelly socks.
Wipe my butt off. Which is, for the record, smellier.
Carry my luggage and keep me entertained.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Make that funny face again.
Thank you.
You look like a silly man.
Having somebody to wipe my butt, I would hate that.
Yes.
I'm sorry? Yeah.
It's a private thing.
Oh, yeah. Having someone wipe your butt. Yeah, well, I mean.
Well, you talk about the Royals.
Yeah, no kidding.
What do you think all that money goes to?
Jeeves, come in here.
You wipe my butt, please. he wrote, thank you for everything you've already done and for everything you still...
Everything you didn't do.
And everything you still unwittingly have to do. And then he wrote her name, which is a long little, you know, Instagram thingy.
So was it it wasn't the wrap-up of The Bachelor last night, right?
No, it's just getting going.
No, yeah. This is Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, okay, a Bachelor in Paradise. Got to keep them all.
A tad bit different.
Yeah. And they're actually exponentially dumber on Bachelor in Paradise.
I believe it. They're the people that couldn't make The Bachelor, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So I tuned in last night, Steve, because I thought the next round of the Jeopardy GOAT tournament was going to be last night. But
tonight.
It's tonight, yeah. So I think it was a two-hour Bachelor last night, and then I switched over the Flyers.
Hannah B. was on last night.
Yeah. Was she?
Oh, yeah.
I do like her.
You know what? You liked her. I didn't like her. You said... Maybe you need to revisit her. Now I like her.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's super duper attractive. I don't know anything about
her. She's so smart.
Well, she's throwing a wrench into the whole thing here.
What'd she do?
Well, she's the ex-girlfriend, and now all the new girls are all pissy because this girl came back. Hannah's hanging out.
He pushed the other one to the side.
Yeah. Catfight.
They're all spitting up huge hairballs on the door.
All right, a couple other things. Mark Hamill is praising a Flagstaff book retailer after they found and returned to him a special record that was signed by John Williams. Bookman's, which has several stores located across Arizona, is a bookstore retailer featuring entertainment exchanges, including books, magazines, comics, music, movies, video games, electronics, and more. The store posted on Facebook that staff members had found a record from the first Star Wars film signed by the longtime composer John Williams.
Wow.
And apparently it was signed for
Mark Hamill?
To Mark Hamill.
Wow.
And they got it to him. How cool is that? Hamill himself took to Twitter to thank Bookman's and the staff and said that he hadn't seen the record since the early 1990s. So somehow or another, it got out there and they... got it back to
That's him. A collector's item. It'd be worth a lot. I had the original soundtrack. Is it a photo, you said?
No, it's a record.
It's
a special record that was signed for the films.
Because I had the first run of records for the soundtrack to Star Wars with a little corner cut off on the edge where my cat pissed on it.
Oh.
I wonder if it'd be worth the same.
In this photo, Steve, you can see it's a series of pictures that must be on the inside.
It's in the inside, yeah. Because the actual record jacket, I remember clearly, was just black with Star Wars on the...
So that was very cool that they returned that to him. Hey, CBS, this is interesting, and I hope it's done well. It's giving the green light to a Silence of the Lambs spinoff that will follow Clary Starling after the events of the film. The series will be set in 1993, 1 year after Silence of the Lambs, and will delve into the untold personal story of Starling, of course, who was played by Jodie Foster in the film.
And the series is going to be Paris Hilton, right?
No. I have no idea who's starring in it. It's not going to be Paris Hilton.
Wearing skin for clothing?
That's yeah. not.
I hope you're right there. There's a show called Prodigal Son, which is, I think it's on Fox, but yeah. It's good. It's very much Silence of the Lambs. Except instead of Clarice Starling, it's a guy who okay. is actually the son of the serial killer who's gone on to be a profiler.
Oh, interesting.
So it has an interesting conceit. If they were to do this, as you said, and be very slavish about the source material,
yeah.
then it could be really good.
If you want a really good show to watch about serial killers, and I've forgotten the name of it, but we watched both seasons immediately on Netflix.
Mindhunter, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It is so well done. It's about the behavioral sciences program in yes, the FBI and how it
I watched
started.
The first season. I haven't seen the second.
It is fan-freaking-tastic. I love it. And it's real-life cases. They add a little dramatic flair to it, but I love.
Would you call it phenomenal?
No.
And David Fincher directed a lot of those episodes.
Yeah. Seven he directed.
Yeah. All right, and then one last story. Fox Television Stations is set to roll out Fox Soul, a live ad-supported streamer targeting African-American viewers. The free channel will include original programming and existing locally produced Fox shows.
It sounds like Foxhole, though.
Fox it sort of does. Soul, you're yeah. right, Foxhole. James Dubose, head of programming for Fox Soul, said, we are proud to debut this African-American-focused channel created by and for the members of the black community. We intend to inform, inspire, and empower our viewers by meeting their needs for authentic conversations on topics relevant to our lives.
So, huh.
I don't know.
Foxhole. It does sound like Fox. You're right. It's
yeah.
hard to say it.
I'm not sure when that's going to roll out exactly, but they are working on it.
They were going to have a network totally devoted to Aziz Ansari called Azole.
Azole. All right. Let's try out the clips.
All right.
An eccentric veterinarian discovers that he has the ability to talk to animals in Doolittle. Here, Robert Downey Jr. talks about the special effects crew giving each talking animal a distinctive personality. Here it is.
Because that long bench of talent would be adding the voice and the real specificity to the character after the fact, it was kind of like just water painting what we would imagine some of these different personalities to be like.
What the f*** is this?
Again, like Tony Stark, I think this is a perfect role for him.
It is. It is.
It's he can pull this off.
I want to see it. It seems to have a very good sense of humor to it, too, with the animals saying very human things.
And they've added action to it. If you see the trailer.
Sure, there's like a dragon in it, too. Yeah, I remember the first one with Rex Harrison, and you remember that? It was good with the push me, pull you, and the... Yeah. The large moth and all that stuff.
Yep. But they're going to turn this into a real adventure story. So it looks fun. Doolittle is in theaters this Friday, by the way. Here's the next clip. Bad Boys, Marcus and Mike team up again to take down a ruthless drug cartel and Bad Boys for Life. In this clip, Martin Lawrence and Will Smith discuss the aspects of the first two films that they wanted to maintain in the sequel. Here we go.
The comedy.
Comedy for sure.
Comedy for sure. And just the fact that we could act. Mm-hmm. The drama.
Yeah.
The drama sure. that we brought to. Mm-hmm. We made the characters real.
Yeah.
And I felt like people seeing us, they just want to take a ride with
they
us.
They want to say, yep.
I don't think I want to see it.
Did that sound slowed down a little bit or something? Because that did not sound like either one
comedy,
of them.
Comedy, yeah.
It sounded like they were both completely disinterested in what they were talking about.
They allowed us to act.
Will Smith is just sitting in the background like, yeah.
Just repeating, yeah. Just get
comedy,
it done.
Comedy for sure. Comedy for sure. Just the fact that you can know.
Act. Drama.
Yeah.
The drama that we
brought to. Real. Bad boy, what you gonna do?
did the check clear yet?
I'm out of here.
Right. right. Exactly.
Well, the check cleared. I'm out of here.
Bad Boys for Life drops this Friday, by the way.
I thought the first the movies were okay. They were fun. I didn't think they were
It'll
great.
It'll do fine.
Yeah.
That's the first time I remember seeing Tay Leone and going, wow.
Yahoo.
She's hot.
Very attractive.
And then first.
She had black hair and looked sort of punk rocky.
Was Manthe in that interview?
Yes, I was. I'm a bad girl.
Anyway, it opens on Friday. All right, there you go. Your entertainment report, friends. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Don't forget, money. First chance to win $1,000 is coming at 8 o'clock with Easy Money. Don't miss it. We'll be back in just a moment.
Easy.
Easy peasy.
Easy as pie.
Easier than a dog licking his dish.
It's MMR's Easy Money Contest.
Your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times every weekday.
Tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m.
as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear that hour's winning keyword.
It's also easy to enter.
It's the first thing on the MMR app.
Top of the page at WMMR.com.
Or use the special contest short code
45911. One random entry wins $1,000 in cash every time.
MMR's Easy Money.
5 times every weekday.
At 8 a.m., 11 a.m.,
1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m.
Sponsored by Meineke. Total car care since 1972.
Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
Did you guys see it's kind of a viral video that's making the rounds of this woman who's on the Family Feud. And the host goes, name Popeye's favorite food. She hits a button. She goes, chicken. And did you see this?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And the result.
I did enjoy it. It's very, very funny. So this happened in Canada. It's the Canadian version of Family Feud. The woman's name is Eve Dubois. And apparently Popeyes has tweeted to her saying that they loved her and they are going to give her $10,000 worth of food.
Wow.
From Popeyes.
Damn. Well, there's a nice promotion.
So I thought that was kind of fun that they decided to do that. Chicken.
Yes. And she's, you know, she's the classic ditzy sort of looking person. But do they even have feuds in Canada? Is it, would it be family gentle disagreement? Family gentle disagreement.
I strongly disagree with you.
It wasn't until this very conversation that I put two and two together that Popeye's chicken, because I just thought she was just stupid because everybody loves chicken.
All right. Wait, maybe you'll get $10,000 of Popeye's
favorite food is spinach. That's the number one answer.
Right, okay, because she starts dancing like she got it right away, and she gets it wrong.
Like Popeye's chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's immediately what she thought. So you didn't,
didn't
pick up on that?
No, I didn't even pick up on that.
Wow, she's really stupid.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she is, but...
but Popeye's chicken.
She was Popeye's chicken.
She's probably... She doesn't remember Popeye, you know, and the cartoon and all of that. It's aged out quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. When's the last time Popeye has been used for any sort of ad campaign or anything?
Yeah, it's a while.
I don't think I've ever had their chicken, the Popeye's chicken.
It's good.
It's good.
I mean, there was so much made about the sandwich that came out last year that you couldn't get, and I was intrigued by it, but I've just never gone out of my way to find one.
Is there still one right up here on City Avenue?
I don't know.
There used to be.
It's right on like Haverford and City Avenue. Okay. I don't know if it's Township Line at that point, but there is one down there.
Yeah, there was one down. I remember passing it.
Yeah, when this whole thing made the headlines, you know, my children were very intrigued by it all. So I have one right near my house. So when the chicken sandwiches came back, I went. It's good.
Okay.
Popeye's chicken is very good. It's actually the regular chicken I really enjoy. I haven't had the sandwich.
It's good.
It's worth it, you'd say?
I would say.
How does it stack up against Chick-fil-A's?
Chick-fil-A's number one.
I love Chick-fil-A.
Popeye's number two, and Wendy's is number three.
Yeah.
But it's all very, very close.
All right. Okay. Yeah. We can all get along.
Yeah, we can all get along.
Yeah, exactly. But they decided to give her $10,000 worth of food. I thought that was kind of fun and a good idea.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I have a variety of stories, and I would do the connoisseur. I have like three food-related things.
But there's not enough to fuel it,
but
right?
But that's it.
And you don't want to be dishonest with the listeners.
No, I don't want to do that, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to just flip things all of a sudden. But I did see this, and I thought it was interesting. Cheetos has given a name to the cheesy residue left on your fingers when you eat the Cheetos. So they have a name for it now.
And it is?
Cheetle.
Cheetle?
Like Don Cheadle.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, the official term is called Cheetle.
I'd call it Chisholm. Right, Preston?
Yeah.
Sure. Much better.
Yeah, what's that on your face?
Chisholm. You know, from eating cheese doodles. I'm sorry, I misheard you.
To celebrate the newly coined...
Peter North is the spokesman. Oh, geez. Just sitting here watching TV.
To celebrate the new coin term, Cheetos is rolling out a brand new product just covered in Cheetle.
You know, I'm a Hers cheese puff guy, but they all generate residue of some sort. There's something, no matter how hard you try to eat them and mitigate that dust, it doesn't work.
Yes.
It doesn't work. I've even tried to eat them sans drink. It doesn't matter. It will still get on, you know, because I figure, okay, I'm touching a glass of water, or there's whatever, something's happening, and it's making my fingers moist in some way. There's no way to fight it.
Well, I mean, some people have a real aversion to licking your fingers clean. Here's the deal.
To licking the Chisholm off your fingers?
Yeah. Here's the deal.
I see you licking your fingers from time to time.
No.
So, but what's the...
But after he picks his nose.
What's the difference?
You're an adult.
Okay. What's the difference between you're using your fingers to eat it to begin with? So if your fingers are dirty, then you shouldn't be using them to eat to begin with.
Just go wash them.
But why? It tastes so good.
Are you?
God. I gotta,
it's like the best part.
Here's something that I like to do, Casey, because I'm with you. When eating French fries with my fingers and then having a fast food sandwich in particular, I will leave the residue of the French fries, the salt and the grease, you'll love it, Kathy, on my fingers.
God, I hate you.
Because then I can apply that to the bun, which I am then putting in my mouth. So I have upped the bun standard by putting the salt and the grease from the French fries onto the bun, and my sandwich is now better.
I would not peg you as the kind of person who would do that, but I could see that would accentuate the taste.
You lick your fingers?
I don't think so.
No,
I think I wiped
that's
them.
What I mean. It's like etiquette. It's like you were taught not to do that.
At a table, or you would not lick your fingers, you know. I think that's something. But if Casey does it in private, he has a special room.
Really?
Where
is
goes
it in private?
Licks.
It might depend on what you're eating. Chicken wings are really, really messy.
Ribs.
Ribs. You know, a crab. Like if you had a crab bake and you're cracking all those open and you get that stuff all over your hands, I could see licking your fingers not necessarily being. But part of it also might be, Kathy, that you're touching other things as well. You know what I mean? So if you're sticking your fingers in your mouth and you touch other things, you don't want that happening, right? Of course not.
You mean like germ wise for me?
Yeah.
Is that
what
you're saying?
God. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but more so that. I think etiquette.
Okay.
That's what
I'm like a surgeon when I have this. I have to get to the sink, wash my hands. I can't. Yeah. I can't stand that.
Well,
case.
That you know. I'm with you on that. Like anything, if I just eat a sandwich, when I'm finished, I have to go wash my hands. If it smells like the food,
get it out of here.
I mean, so Casey, it's not caviar. You're eating freaking Doritos and Cheetos. who cares about etiquette?
Yeah, no,
at that point?
I guess maybe that's not the correct word, but that's sort of what I'm thinking. It's just not polite.
I'm not in the presence of the queen, you know. Like, and also there are some like weird etiquette-y things that I mean, if you look at it, it's. Sure, on paper it looks okay, but at the same time...
Give us an example.
When you have to use, like, tongs to grab something, right?
Okay.
So you're just putting your germs on the tongs.
No. Oh, I thought you meant, like, will you go in, like, if it's like a chicken finger, you'll go in and just touch that chicken finger
It's like pickup sticks,
Casey's
right?
Casey's making a good point, though, which is, and it's a number of the things that we do, where, like, you know, I've seen people at delis, for example, and they'll have the plastic, you know, the gloves on for the, you know, they're working behind the counter, and then they'll go over to the register and pull money out.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you've just now negated purpose of having
Casey,
that.
Yeah. So tongs for like, you know, a big basket of rolls or something like that.
I'm just
going to grab the one that's right on top. My hand's not going to touch anything else at all.
No, the tongs are there for a reason.
Yeah, but what is that reason?
To use them.
Yeah, I know, but what's the reason to use them?
So that you don't get your germs all over everything.
But what if you don't touch anything besides the... See, you're
going to go in. You're going to try to not touch
it. But here's the thing,
Kathy. Your finger's going to touch another one.
Your germs are now on the tongue.
Yes, that's my point. Your germs are now on the tongue.
Preston's methodology is actually more respectful to other people because the tongs are holding the germs.
There are hundreds of germs now on the tongs.
God, I hate every single one of you.
You know what I hate using? You know what I hate using? Because I think it's stupid. If I'm not going to touch anything else besides what I am choosing to eat, is when you go into like a donut rack or a bagel rack or something like
the
that,
paper?
You have to grab that little tissue paper stupid thing, that little hand condom, and go in and grab that. When you're not going to touch anything else, I want the one right on top right there. I'm almost 52 years old. I'm pretty good with my hands. And I can reach in and grab something without touching something.
Do you know why I'll use those? I'll use those only if I'm grabbing something that's glazed.
Yeah, you don't want to get it on your fingers.
Why? You just go.
Casey, by the way, speaking of fingers licking off, the Dumb and Dumber sequel.
Oh, my God. The Dumb and Dumber 2.
I didn't see
it. Oh, dude. Go into another room and look up.
They're eating like Cheetos or something like that. It's, okay. I don't know if it's Harry or Lloyd, but anyway, he's got the stuff all over his fingers. Instead of licking it himself, he starts sticking it every single finger in Harry's mouth.
But this is also right after they stuck their hands in their butts.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
The movie was a little uneven, but that part was...
that was good. There were many parts.
So licking fingers, acceptable. You feel it's a little outrageous.
Well, for the same reason, I wouldn't grab a chicken finger out of a chafing dish if there were a whole bunch of people around. I'm not going to lick my fingers in front of a bunch. You guys are my freaking family, all right? So, like, please just let me do the things that I want to do in the comfort of my own home
here's
in front of you guys.
Here's my consideration, though. If you take a wing out of the chafing dish with your fingers and then you lick your fingers and then you reach back into
can't
the
do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you can't
all
do
right.
That.
All right. We're sort of in simpatico here.
Yeah.
And to the point, pair of tongs that's being touched by multiple people is more likely to retain germs, correct? Now, when you take soup out of a tureen, Preston, you just cup your hand.
Yeah,
right?
I do. I thought you used a straw, Steve.
No, I cup my hand.
Okay.
Like leaning over into a creek to drink water.
And here's a text of somebody who's clearly not hearing what I'm saying. It says, Preston, we don't need your disgusting hands contaminating everyone's food.
Exactly.
Did you not hear the part where I said I'm not touching anyone's food, but my own? My own.
By the way, the most strident defenders of the tongs, and I'll use them. I'm not ridiculous. But however, if there's a big bowl of muffins, and there's a muffin on top that I want,
just grab it.
I grab it. I make sure I'm not touching anything. Is it tongs? What is it?
Yeah, with the tongs.
Yeah, I will grab it and just remove it. I haven't touched any of the other
food. Deal.
What
right. I'm not going to judge you.
Here's the difference, then. And let me just defend your point of view, Preston. So here's the tong covered in everyone else's hand juices, and now you're going to move that over to the basket of muffins.
Yeah, I know.
You're just making excuses.
But the concern is, I guess you don't put the tongs in your mouth unless that's your thing.
But you're
going
to
put the food.
But you don't.
These hypersensitive, over-the-top, thinking that if I get within a certain amount of inches, even though I don't actually touch your food, I've somehow contaminated
it. The germs jumped off your hands.
I guess so.
Well, look at all the perceptions that we have. We found out that the average toilet has less germs than the kitchen counter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kathy, so you're at the dinner with your family. Your family. Big family.
Family.
Okay.
Gary's there and Errol.
And let's pretend that you eat bread.
Right.
So they pass the bread bowl around. Do you grab it with your hand or do you take a fork out and you fork the bread?
No, I'm not going to take a fork.
I like to fork warm bread.
Is that a joke?
It was a play on words.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
About how you'd like to have sex with warm bread.
Yeah.
I didn't say. I said I'd like to fork it. So will you grab it with your hand or will you grab it with a fork?
No, I'll grab it with my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on, Marissa.
Yeah, but if there's a whole loaf in the basket and somebody picks up the loaf with their hand,
then I won't eat it.
Tears off the end piece and puts the loaf back, I won't eat it either.
Then I won't eat it. No.
Right, so
how are you supposed to do that, though?
If you're at a large table where it's family style or a wedding or something where there's a lot of different people, they will come around with tongs with the bread.
Yeah. You know what makes me feel a little bit uneasy is pizza.
So when you go to take your piece of pizza and the crust isn't like fully cut and you have to like touch the other piece that you're not going to eat and have to pull it apart.
You've done that, I'm sure, right,
so
Kathy?
Gross. What? I like have to shake it and then the cheese falls off.
But I mean,
it's annoying.
Will you not grab a little bit of the piece adjacent and tear it off?
Like when you get breakfast pizza? No.
Okay.
I won't. I'll shake it
God,
or I'll get a knife.
You're so paranoid.
I'm just polite.
You're so paranoid.
I'm not going to touch that. And who knows? At my house, yes. Okay. With my son, of course, I'm going to touch both pieces.
Give me something over there that you're touching. I'll eat it. Just give it to me. I'll show you. Nothing's going to happen. Here, give me that.
I put this in my mouth this morning.
Hey, this is Kathy's old coffee stir.
You're going to do it. It's like we made out.
A heart attack.
Kathy, can you imagine you come to work with Ebola tomorrow morning?
Casey, just lick the one I just licked.
That is disgusting. At least my spit was dried.
All right. Anybody want
to
lick it?
And let's put it in your butt and give it to Nick.
There you go.
All right.
And there you go. Yeah.
Wait, can I tell you,
a lesson to prove here.
Yeah. I want to tell you a quick story. So,
and then, Nick, you wash it and then bring it to me and I'll put it in my mouth.
No, it's happened a couple of times. And I think actually Nick, I think it was here one time. He asked for a sip of my water. And I don't want to be rude and say no. So he sipped it. And then when I get it back, I will nonchalantly, hopefully when no one's looking, I go like this and I wipe the top of it like with my my shirt.
I think there's just I probably sit somewhere in between a lot of this because I think it's okay to clean. You when something has been directly on someone's mouth, you know, and we're now in cold season. At least you want to take a little bit of a precaution, right?
I don't know.
I'm fine with that.
I don't
rubbing
care what
the germs in,
is.
Kathy.
I don't know.
When you leave the studio, I rub my balls.
Just as a joke.
Just as a joke, yeah.
Let me go to some calls here. I'm going to go to David. Hi, David. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yo, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
All right. So, look, my wife has a terrible problem, dude. Every time she sneezes, she cups her hand and sneezes in the palm of her hand.
Right.
And I always tell her to stop doing that. She refuses to do it. And as she's shaking hands, I know what just happened, but they don't.
You got to take that. No, you're right. Right,
you
Preston?
Could, you could be sick. I sneeze into the elbow or into the, you know, my jacket or
into Nick's balls
or something like that. I never sneeze into the hand because
I'll always sneeze into the back of somebody's pants. I'll pull them out like I'm giving them a wedgie.
sneeze down into their butt.
Why is there snot on my ass?
Yeah, David, does she know about sneezing into the, you know, the crook of her arm here?
Yes.
Or anything?
Yeah. Yes, she does. And I've tried to tell her many times, and, you know, she keep on doing it in the palm of her hand in public and everything.
Hmm.
Okay. So just kind of weird, dude.
Yeah, I guess
no,
so.
Thanks, David. It's so funny. I'm a big fan of proper etiquette and, you know, not double dipping and things of that nature.
Sure.
I see people who are very flagrant at, but there's also... I believe in some ways, like what you say, for example, because also I see tongs at a buffet being used for multiple things, and you don't know. Sometimes there's not a tong there, and it's like, what? Or there's nothing to get the food out, you know? What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Pick it out with your teeth?
Nick Murphy just sent a text over. He said, a reason to watch the Daily Rush of this segment is seeing Casey actively eating and giving etiquette tips.
They're not etiquette tips. I'm just saying, lighten up, man.
This will be later on. We'll let you know when it's ready.
I mean, listen, if you guys want to take a lesson here, I have legit taken, I've been gainfully employed after graduation for 22 plus years. I have taken like a legit 4 sick days, 5 sick days in 22 years.
I had cancer and I missed 2 days.
I had MRSA and I didn't miss anything.
I'm just saying,
maybe you need to rub some balls on your cutlery.
No,
now
thank
there.
You.
Wait, Casey,
no,
what,
thank you.
What legit skeeves you out? Like any of these things in this universe that something you see somebody do something like that and you're like, oh my God, it gives you the heebie-jeebies.
Okay, this is going to sound weird and a little bit hypocritical. No, I can't stand people eating their boogers. I can't stand watching somebody pick their nose and eat it. Yeah.
So for me, and we've talked about this, that you're in the realm. I don't know. I can watch cannibal Holocaust movies. I can watch people being blown to bits. Whatever. The viscera, it doesn't bother me. Snot bothers the hell out of me.
I can't.
Like that mucus, the talking mucus in the Mucinex ad?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sex and food don't mix with me.
Does it gross you out?
For some reason, and it's not like I was, you know, actively watching
adult movies while I was like eating, but I
No, when she moves her head, the nachos fall off.
Hold still.
I'll move. I will move. You stay still.
That one had chicken on it.
I don't know why, but I found that out just one of the... Oh, you know what? I don't like these two things together.
Okay.
I don't like that.
Wait, somebody says, how about refilling their water bottle and inserting the water cooler spout within the used water bottle? So we used to have a water cooler here, and I used to refill my water bottle.
Until, we still have it.
Yeah, but I don't use it anymore. Because Michelle Tagey came to me one time when she worked here, and she goes, you know that Lucy drinks from that water, right? And I was like, Pierre's dog.
Oh, my God.
Pierre's
really?
When Lucy was alive. Yeah. Oh. So since, yep. So, nope. I haven't used it since.
At my home, I'll just rack it and hold it against that. I'm fine. It's my home.
Yeah.
So three generations.
In a public place, I hold it.
Oh. I've never once thought about
below,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I do it every day here. I never once thought about that. Bothered me.
Yeah, a salesperson that hasn't worked here for a decade and a dog that's been dead for a decade still makes you not drink out of that
thing. Wait, I got one more for you. So I once saw a chef in a kitchen. It was a breakfast restaurant. and she picked up, the eggs were already cracked in like a big... pitcher. She just dunked her hand in there. She pulled out the egg and she tossed it on the grill. And
ew!
I was like, that's it. Never returning. They've sold the restaurant, renamed it. I still won't go there.
Oh,
new owners. I won't go.
You have mental problems.
It is. Yeah, it is don't a mental say
where.
Issue.
No, I'm not going to say where. We happen to be witness to a fascinating way. Of making nachos.
Yeah. Case, I'll never eat there again.
I will not.
Yeah.
Never. Okay. Ever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, and I told someone that story, and my friend, and she goes, we ate those nachos before we went somewhere else.
Hey, don't ever go to into a kitchen of a restaurant.
Seriously.
It'll ruin it for you.
It ruins the illusion.
It's happening in all kitchens. Not
all
that everything is full-on disgusting, but there's just things that you wouldn't expect, like, you know, the cooking of... a steak or something like that, and actually touching the meat to make sure that it's, to feel its firmness. You heard the clip. That's what I'm talking about in that clip. Let me go to some other calls because I have Benjamin, who teaches dinner etiquette at a university. Hi, Benjamin. Well, you're on the air.
That's not quite right. I teach the medicinal chemistry of anti-infectives and anti-viral agents.
Oh, all right.
That's not the same
as
dinner etiquette. That's okay.
Chemistry.
Okay.
I have terrible etiquette. Kathy, I hate to tell you this, but there are germs all over everything all the time.
Yes. Fully aware of that,
nothing,
which is why I wash my hands.
You can do about it.
Yes. Well, sure there is. You can.
Well, let me ask Benjamin. So
you wash your hands till they're raw, it will not change a damn thing.
Benjamin, that's what I wanted you to say, is that even if you wash, you've still got germs.
No, I think that Dr. Mike would disagree with that. That is one of the things that Dr. Mike says to do, especially throughout flu season.
Well, I'm sure.
Benjamin.
Well, that's because you want to make sure that you minimize your contact with things of infectious agents.
Yeah.
You know, but that doesn't change the fact that there are infectious agents on your hands at all times.
Let me ask you something then. Let me ask you, if there's a case where you're at a buffet and there are tongs and there are rolls,
use the tongs.
So if you use the tongs, don't germs accumulate on the tongs from the multiple uses? Okay.
Exactly. Yes. You are changing absolutely nothing in terms of germ exposure by using the tongs because everybody's walking up and grabbing the tongs.
To me, I liken that to a remote in a hotel room. Everyone's, right? It's the same concept.
Yeah, everyone's touching it. And, so you have a bunch of people who have an infectious disease, such as,
leprosy.
The flu, let's say. You have a bunch of people in the room who have the flu. You definitely want to wash your hands then because you're minimizing the level of viral contaminants that are on there.
Right.
But in the general populace, just walking around every day, statistically speaking, the odds of you being near somebody who's going to have an infectious disease, that you're going to catch right at that moment, not huge. You definitely should wash your hands. But we're not talking about we live with Ebola or something like that. Most of the things we have here are very benign.
So there's a little bit of hypocrisy sometimes in the way people conduct their affairs, correct?
A lot of hypocrisy in the way people conduct their affairs because, again, we live – many of these germs have a purpose and serve a greater cause, than just infecting people. We have them in our GI tract. And they serve a beneficial purpose, that we
those are good germs.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right.
I mean, you don't want to get MRSA in your wounds, of course.
You had MRSA, Preston, right? What'd you have?
Yeah, it was MRSA.
It was very painful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and stop using your tongue to pick up food, and we'll be fine.
All right. Thank you, Benjamin.
Stop using the tongs.
I've used this story on the air before, but I remember one time a girlfriend had spent the night and didn't have a toothbrush. I'm like, well, you can just use mine. She's like, ew, no. And I go, do you remember what was in your mouth last night?
Yeah, yeah.
This is... okay.
The toothbrush is way better.
Yeah.
Just wash it off.
Yeah, well, I mean,
what was in her mouth the night before?
We'd eaten chicken.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Nachos.
I like Popeye.
Yeah. Yeah. Penis chicken.
there were like three jokes right there.
Let me see here. Okay. All right. Yeah. Let me go to this. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, pal, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, bud?
Oh, God.
Dude, so I was a chef for a long time in Southwest Florida. I've seen a lot of horrible things. I'll just give you one. I walk into the restaurant one day, and you know, when you mix up like big batches of coleslaw or whatever, it's usually done in a big 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah.
Dude is mixing it with his arm, like he's elbow deep.
Oh my God!
Nonsense, right? And he's scraping off of his arm whatever was stuck to it.
Oh, like, you don't want to waste it.
Into the bucket.
Oh my God!
I guess the same
spot. Yeah. He's being economical.
Listen, there's hair on your arm. And...
like a big hairy dude.
So, Mike. Would you say that's probably fairly normal stuff as gross going on in places you've seen or worked at?
You know, and it's always been in places where, like, I just started at because I'd always nip stuff like that in the bud. But, yeah, dude, I've seen some horrible, horrible things.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, it's again, thanks, Mike. You better don't ask, don't tell. Just... enjoy your meal and pick the arm hair out of your coleslaw.
If it's in a place you love and you enjoy the food, just stay out of the kitchen. It's probably a good idea. Hang on, I'm going to go to Bud. Here's somebody who agrees with you, Kathy. Hi, Bud. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good. What's up, Bud?
Good. Hey, you know, when you with the 5-second rule, like touching tongs as opposed to touching something like a piece of shrimp or something, a lot less germs get absorbed onto a hard clean surface than onto a soft food. I agree with Kathy that licking your fingers is disgusting.
So watching someone do that is gross to you?
I think that's gross. Oh, yeah. Watching it is gross. Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't want to lick your fingers. I want to lick my fingers.
I agree. But in my family, we sort of have this debate at the kitchen table sometimes. And being a chef, I'm just like, you're licking your fingers, fine. You're still not avoiding touching other stuff. I'm sorry.
Is it so much that it can, Kathy, and I want to ask you this too, maybe Bud as well, will it make you lose your appetite if you saw someone licking their fingers at the table?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
It could, if it was Casey, yeah.
So here's my little food thing that I can't stand. At the bottom of a bag of chips, when it becomes chip shrapnel, I don't like having the way you have to eat the shrapnel and like, you know, put, in other words, with
you
all your fingers.
You dump the bag in, right?
I dump it into a new bag.
Oh, into a new bag. I thought you meant in your mouth.
Because, I want the full, I like the full intact chip so I can hold the chip and put it into my mouth.
Then why not just throw away those?
I know.
Yeah.
No, I know. And my wife says the same thing. And you're both right.
Yeah. You just press your finger into it, and then it sticks to the end of your finger, and then you lick it off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, when you have all those crumbs, and they're on your, you're licking it off, it's fine.
No, I know I'm an idiot.
It's fine. All right, interesting. Well, and we need to find the video of the Dumb and Dumber. He's licking his fingers.
I got to see it.
It's so good.
All right. Anyhow, well, thanks for sharing those stories. I want to take a break because I want to be on time with our Easy Money contest. Yeah. So we have $1,000 or shot to win it, and we'll take a break and come back in a second with that as well as the Bizarre File, so don't miss that. And then on top of that, it's Tattoos Day today, so it's a chance for you to win a Preston Steve tattoo. Text the word tattoo to 39333. You just might win from world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. And don't forget that the tattoo convention is this weekend at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. You can go to villainarts.com for information on the tickets. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. 93.3 WMMR. Easy money.
Come and get it. Come and get it. $1,000. And it's appropriate that we're using this word as our keyword for the hour. It's dollar. D-O-L-L-A-R. And you have until 8:15 to enter it via text to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or do it this way. You will be entered for a $10,000 grand prize. You can do it through the MMR mobile app or the contest page at WMMR.com to be eligible for that grand prize. So, you'll get a call if you're randomly selected in this Beasley Nationwide contest and you win $1,000. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com. Again, the word is dollar, D-O-L-L-A-R. Good luck from Meineke and MMR.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Red Robin. Red Robin Catering has a delicious range of gourmet burgers, wings, sandwiches, wraps, salads, drinks, desserts, and kids' options for your next party. Order today at order.redrobinpa.com. Red Robin, yum. I have curated an interesting selection of stories today.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah, they have it's a variety of things we're going to go through. So Michael Lee and Angela Pang can hardly wait for the birth of their first child, even if it results in them spending time behind bars. The husband and wife from Eagle Mountain, Utah, are first cousins.
Ooh. Yeah,
Pang's father is the older brother of Lee's mother. Oh, okay, boy. So Pang is Angela.
Hey, guys.
And Michael. Yeah, exactly. So since the
hey,
baby's,
got something to tell you.
Since the baby's existence proves they had sex, they could face up to $10,000 in fines and 5 years in prison because intercourse between cousins is illegal in their home state due to the long-held fear of birth defects.
Well, I can tell you firsthand, this isn't the only time it's happened.
By the way, according to the 2018 Columbia University study, the chances of cousins having a genetic disorder is 4 to 7% compared to 3 to 4% for non-related couples. It's pretty nominal.
So it's not as staggering as you might believe.
But the 38-year-old parents-to-be set to appear in an upcoming episode of the Wii TV series Extreme Love, and they are confident that their little boy, due May 22nd, will be delivered safely and in good health following tests to rule out any disability. According to Pang, she said, we had our due diligence because everyone was saying to us, no, don't do that. It's too risky. It's irresponsible. She's 5 months pregnant, by the way, she said. So we did get genetic testing and found out that it's okay for us to parent together.
Besides, your brother's much hotter.
The couple stick to the mind your own business defense when it comes to their marriage. She said, I feel the same way about gay marriage, even though I'm not gay. They also point out that unions between cousins are legal in more than half of U.S. states, including New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, California, and Colorado.
And Pennsylvania?
I'm not sure about Pennsylvania. I didn't check.
Hot spit.
Canada and Europe also allow first cousins to wed, but it's still a little taboo in some states.
Maybe Preston leave the house when you want a date.
Yeah, you're right. A tortoise whose rampant sex life may have single-handedly saved his entire species from extinction, has retired from his Playboy lifestyle, returning to the wild with his mission accomplished.
I am so goddamn tired.
Diego is his name. His unstoppable libido was credited as a major reason for the survival of his fellow giant tortoises on Espanola, part of the Galapagos Islands, after being shipped over from the San Diego Zoo as part of a breeding program. When he started his campaign of promiscuity, there were just two males. There were just two males and 12 females of his species alive on the island.
Wow.
But the desirable shell dweller had so much sex, he helped boost the population to over 2,000.
That's legitimate turtle sex you're hearing right here.
Yep. It is. The Galapagos National Park Service believe the 100-year-old tortoise is the patriarch of around 40% of that 2,000.
That's staggering. He's the Genghis Khan of his species.
A total of 15 tortoises took part in the breeding program to boost the island's population.
How many just watched?
But none played as big a role as Diego, but he is done with his philandering.
You don't necessarily think of them as being very promiscuous.
Apparently they are. How about this guy? A Florida man has been arrested after he allegedly climbed a traffic light on a busy intersection and began defecating on cars passing underneath.
Oh, my God.
Florida man, Florida man.
I despise and applaud him simultaneously.
I agree, Steve. Roy Stern was arrested by Miami police after numerous calls about a man hanging from a traffic light and crapping on cars.
Welcome to Florida.
Police and fire department had to bring Roy down via ladder, and according to authorities, Roy was high on crystal meth and marijuana at the time.
I think I'd be, you know, it's a hard thing. Like, pee shy, poop shy.
Yeah.
You're hanging over active traffic.
You're afraid of heights.
Afraid of heights.
Yeah, who knows? But he pulled it off, old Roy.
Were we talking solid or?
They didn't indicate, okay. But.
That would really round out the story.
Yeah. Another Florida man admitted to intentionally hitting this. Okay, this is disturbing. This is just a.
All right.
This is an evil human being. This guy admitted to intentionally hitting a 75-year-old Vietnam veteran because he was reportedly looking for someone to run over so he could see what it's like to kill.
Oh,
and he did kill this guy.
Oh, my God.
Justin Pennell was arrested after he called 911 and told dispatchers that he fatally hit a man on purpose. He's 21 years old. He was running errands when he spotted the victim walking along the side of the road. He initially drove past the older man before pulling a U-turn and aiming his vehicle directly at the victim. The man desperately scrambled to get out of the way, but he was hit and died at the scene. While at the scene and in later interviews, Pennell confessed to deputies that he laughed at the fear he saw on the victim's face. So this is a psychotic individual.
Yes, absolutely.
It was later revealed that Pennell had thoughts of killing someone for months. He had already planned how he would do it. He had left his home with the express intent of finding someone to kill with his vehicle. He was charged with first-degree murder. He's being held without bond. The sheriff's office said that they were stunned by the brazen crime. The act was not random, but the victim was a random victim. Pennell,
21, you said?
Yeah, only appears two times in the department's records, including once when he was classified as a runaway. So it wasn't, you know, a legal problem
right. Leading
up to that. The investigation into the incident is ongoing as deputies are still interviewing his family, friends, and are crafting search warrants. That's just messed up. All right, so we need to move on to something a little lighter than that.
Please.
A New Jersey woman says she opened her newly delivered Amazon package to a stinky, soiled surprise. Nestle Sales from Jersey City ordered diapers this week from Amazon.com's warehouse section, a section where used or refurbished items are sold at a discounted price. Opening the package, Sales said she was surprised to find that the diaper she was about to place on her 19-month-old daughter contained what she described and alleged is smelled like human waste.
Well, they were used.
She said, I picked up the diapers and it was a little bit heavy. I was half asleep. The lights were off. And at that point, I turned on the lights and that's when I noticed these diapers are neatly folded and they are soiled.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it, she said. Sales says she immediately disinfected her daughter, wiped her down, and her nursery as well. The family attempted to reach an Amazon representative later that evening. The response they received, they said, left them disappointed at best. She said they were like, okay, sorry for your inconvenience. We'll give you a refund.
I save pretty big on my used medication through Amazon.
Oh, that's wherever you got to
make
ends meet.
Just get little vials that say pills.
Yeah, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file right now. All right, so you got roughly 5 minutes left to get in the word dollar for your chance to win $1,000. This is our easy money promotion, and you need to text that word to the special contest short code, which is 45911, or you can enter it through WMMR.com or the MMR mobile app. If you do it those two ways, you'll be qualified for the $10,000 grand prize. So get on that now. Dollar, D-O-L-L-A-R is the word. We'll be back in just a moment.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Saw this news. Bill Weston had emailed all of us here at MMR to let us know that a very important person in WMMR's history had passed away. I personally did not know him, but Jerry Stevens was the first program director of WMMR.
Oh, no way.
He was 85 years old. He passed away on Friday. I believe he lived in Chad's Ford. But Jerome Jerry F. Stevens. There's a memorial celebration taking place on Saturday the 18th at Longwood Funeral Home. And it says, well, I don't know, and Cremation of Matthew Genero. Is that the name of the place? Anyway, it's in Kennett Square. So I figured we would definitely acknowledge that. I mean, you're talking about the guy that first handled the programming of this radio station. Apparently, he did another tenure as a PD later on. Michael Tierson, longtime jock here at MMR, much beloved in the for longtime listeners and music director as well, was hired by him, and he later created what was called the Fascinating Rhythm format for WCAU. Which was the first disco station in the country.
Wow.
And then back at MMR for a second stint as PD, where again he hired Tierson to, he said, clean up the studio music library and then curate the station's 10th anniversary.
I wonder if he and Blavitt ever crossed paths. I
mean, it's a good question.
They worked in Philly radio for so long together.
More than likely, right?
I was wondering because Jerry's coming in, Blavitt is coming in a little bit later on, and we'll have to ask him about that. But it says here, he was, his management talents earned him a spot as program director at WMMR from 1970 to 1977. And he earned recognition by Billboard magazine as program director of the year for two consecutive years. So we appreciate his, his tenure here and the work done at MMR, where we call home.
You know, it's pretty wild, Preston, at the 50th anniversary party that we had over. It was at the Foundry, I believe, right? And it was all these people, the amount of people who have come through the doors of WMMR, people that you recognize. Oh, my God, I didn't know they worked for MMR at some point. But it's a huge family. So this takes it all the way back to the absolute beginning. It's something.
Yep. So I figured I'd pass along. But we'll ask Geeter about that later on if he knew him at all. All right. I have some other stories. I do have some junk drawer items to clean out. Yeah, I figured that. I mean, I technically noticed them, but...
You're noticing you have a junk drawer.
I noticed.
It's too much to keep track of.
It's full. All right, I saw this. So a new study pinpoints the least happy age for us.
We always have these numbers coming out, and we've heard... Do we hear the happiest? Is that in the 50s?
Well, there's a curve.
Okay.
So there's a U-shaped happiness curve over a lifespan.
So when are we the least happiest?
We are least... What would you guess? Just, I'm curious.
The Casey, least did happiest?
Did you already see it, Casey?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The least happiest.
Roughly. You know, I mean, just give me a phase in human existence.
I'm going to say on average, 115.
You're pretty worn out at that point.
I mean, you've probably lost most of your motor functions.
I'll give you a clue. It's not that.
There's a general stench.
I'll give you a clue. It's not that.
Okay.
You're younger than that when this happens. So.
But may I ask, is it in the 30s?
No.
Okay. 40s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
that's like midlife crisis time.
That's kind of it, yeah. So the least happy age is 47.2 years old.
Oh, that seems a little older.
Great.
Than you would think. I'm
stuff to look forward to.
2.5 years away.
You should be really unhappy soon.
It says here that, they found there's a happiness curve over a lifespan. It hits its low point at 47.2 years. David Blanchflower wrote in the paper... the curve's trajectory holds true in countries where the median wage is high and where it is not, and where people tend to live longer and where they don't. One reason for that being the low point is that's around when people's aspirations fade as they learn to accept and adapt to their strengths and weaknesses.
I'm no longer going to be a ventriloquist.
I guess not. You have to come to terms with that.
I just can't talk with my mouth closed.
I'm reading a book right now called The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Nick has read it as well, and it was on the bestseller. And it's a self-help thing. I didn't go looking for this. It just popped up. I was looking for another audio book. Actually, I was looking for a Stephen King book. And when I went to the opening page, the audio thing, I saw that title. I'm like, all right, let me check it out. It's fairly short. It's,
I don't give an F. Let me see if this pans out.
And it's essentially coming to terms, you know, which is this, you know, says you're unhappy when you come to terms that, that this is where my life is. But the argument in this particular book is the sooner you can do something like that, the better it's going to be for you overall. Now, you can agree with this philosophy or not. But it's essentially it's embracing the negative, because life is a series of problems and we get happiness from working these problems out. And if you work problems out, you're still going to have problems, but hopefully they're going to be better problems that you have to deal
with. It's the joy of diminished expectations, right?
Kinda, I guess so.
Right, yeah.
But it's an interesting concept, and I've found a couple little nuggets of wisdom in there. I don't believe the whole thing, right. But there are some things that I'm like, okay, I can use that, I think, you know?
I've been adding and subtracting 20 years from my life for a little while now, because I just think 20 years went by pretty quick. And 20 years ago, I was in my, you know, mid-20s, early to mid-20s. And like
hanging out at the sock hops?
And all of a sudden, I'm not. And so, and what scares me is that 20 years went by quick, right? And if I add 20 years, then I'm like approaching senior citizenship, and that's a little bit scary. And the only thing that really has like has given me any sort of hope is hanging out with a couple of my cousins, and because one is 62 years old, the other one is approaching 60, and they are so super active,
right?
And they're enjoying their lives. Like they're obviously in a different stage of their lives.
They can operate their own respirators.
They can do that, but their children are older.
Yeah,
you know, their children are independent, and so, so it doesn't. You know, the 60s don't have to
Steve, I think that that's when you start becoming happier.
Getting
to your 60s, from what I understand, is because things change. You're more financially secure. Hopefully you are.
Every day I walk over and look at my funeral plot in the backyard. I'm like,
that's taken care of.
But I
dug it, and it's a perfect rectangle.
I thought I had read in the past that your happiness rises at that point.
I've been happy for a long time. You know, there's even with little distractions, I've always been a glass half full kind of guy. Mm. Sometimes that takes a few hits, but you know, at the end of it, I had lessons early on in life about seeing people deal with some heavy stuff, and they manage to, you know, keep a smile. Doesn't mean you're inferior if you can't do that. That's not the case at all. Everyone handles everything in their own way. But I could see that. I think there's a point in which when you're comfortable. When you reach a comfortability with yourself, that's when you're going to be the happiest. And it does, as you talk about like a midlife crisis, you know, what am I going to do? I guess this didn't pan out. To your point of Preston just saying, okay, here's what I'm going to be, but I can enjoy this. I can work within this context. That's cool.
Yeah.
I guess you just have to get over that hump.
You always got to live with yourself, right?
Yep,
I mean, to the end of your days, so you are going to be you.
That's what the Nutty Professor taught us, right?
Yeah. And Casey, to your point, you know, the three words of advice that have been given to me are just keep moving. Mm-hmm. And no matter what that means.
Did you get that from Dory?
No, that was that was back
moving. Just keep moving.
No, that was just keep swimming.
Yeah.
It's excellent advice. I mean, just keep swimming is simplistic as well, but there's truth to that. So yeah, I mean, like anything that you can do to just sort of stay active is good for you.
My uncle lived by that philosophy. He'd always said, the moment you find yourself getting bored, get up and do something.
Yeah.
If you are at that point in your life. Now, some people have too much to do, and that can be another problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But problem solving is something you should try to embrace, according to this particular philosophy. So,
You look at social media all the time, like on Twitter or Instagram, or you see those posts all the time from, you know, I'm bored. I'm bored. Do something!
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyhow, 47.2 is apparently the least happy age. You want to go to this call?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Let me go to EZ. EZ!
Hey, you guys rock!
Thank you! What did you want to share with us?
So, listen, I'm at the beginning of my curve. I'm about to hit that low part.
Okay.
And my boyfriend, he's actually twice my age, so he's hitting that high part of the curve.
How old are you?
I'm about to be 30 in February.
Well, and he's 60?
You got another 17 years before you hit your low point.
Yeah, I'm at the beginning, I'm
All right.
Really evaluating what my goals are going to be so I can avoid that curve.
And he's 60 or almost 60.
His ideas are so far different than mine that we have these arguments, but at the same time, they're gross. And for me, at least, it helps me evaluate, like, if I'm going to be at that age, like, you know, that 20-year jump, I kind of go to 30-year jump because I'm a little neurotic that way.
Well, let me ask you. So he's 60, you're 30. Do his hands hurt from high-fiving his friends all the time?
Yeah, they do.
How does that happen? I am not judging.
It's kind of just fate. Just conversations open up into, you know, don't knock it until you try it.
There you go.
Yeah, but like the particulars of how it happened.
Where'd you meet?
How'd you? It was a regular event. It wasn't like a sketchy, no backdoor websites, nothing like that.
Was he a mall Santa?
and he was not married either.
Oh, well, there you go.
What was the event? Was it a party? Was it a professional thing?
Yeah, it was like an actual like fancy event, like, you know, not work, but not, you know, party.
Yeah.
Did
you guys do it that night? Did you guys do it that night?
No, that night, no.
Okay. Yeah, you know how those 60-year-olds are.
Yeah, I know.
How long have you guys been together?
Almost 2 years.
Okay.
If you're happy, nice. Good for you. But it's funny because you have a special perspective on this.
It's limited. It's rare. It's rare, but it happens.
Okay.
Excellent. Right. Well, thanks for sharing.
You guys
appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
All right. Interesting.
Good for both of them.
47.2, least happy age. But that is...
Don't sign a prenup.
Well, listen, it's... But this is just a study. If you're happy, you're happy, man. If you're happy and you know it, clap
your hands.
All right, let me see what else I can find in here. You will like this, Steve. The 1968 Ford Mustang GT, driven by Steve McQueen in the movie Bullet, just became the most valuable Ford Mustang ever sold at auction.
Of course.
But do you know the story of it? Because it's interesting.
I've heard a couple of different stories. Give me your story.
All right. So it sold for $3.7 million, including auction fees, at the annual Mecum Collector Car Auction in Florida. The previous record was held by a 1967 Shelby GT500, which sold for $2.2 million. But the deal was, you know, you would think this car, this very, very famous vehicle, considered the greatest, you know, car chaser, one of the first really great car chases on cinema.
It's still a mother.
The fact that Steve McQueen is one of the all-time, you know, car fanatics the real deal when it came to racing. This thing sat in a garage for decades and just wasn't taken care of. And
that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't
this beautifully maintained or maintained.
Well, that's a crime
at all. Sean,
to pay more than a dime.
Sean Kiernan, whose late father, Robert Kiernan, purchased the car for $3,500 in 1974, said it had to do with breaking records. It didn't have to do with the money. He said it had to do with breaking records, and we did that. They declined to identify the buyer. So the story of the car itself, let's see here.
Have you guys all seen the movie Bullet?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Okay, and it's just one of the most iconic chases of bullets. He's a cop, a detective. And he's going after these two hitmen, and he happens to see them. They're in a Dodge Charger, and he sees them, and they're bad. They got the leather gloves and the whole thing. And then, you know, the scene is so paced so well, Preston. They click the seatbelts on, and they know they're going to get into it. It's in San Francisco, Casey. Though
got the hills galore.
Oh my God! And then it was the shot through the windshield. We're watching it now on the screen in the studio. It's just one of the greatest. And McQueen drove some of these stunts.
Yep.
He was a really accomplished driver, a big race car guy. And then they had another guy who was just one of the top stuntmen. But it's just an amazing chase. Still holds up.
Part of what made it groundbreaking was the in-car camera.
Yeah.
That hadn't been done before, and the various angles that they did on it. By the way, they lose seven or eight hubcaps on the same car during the chase.
That's a good thing they had double hubcaps.
So here's the deal. Generally speaking, 1968 Ford Mustang GT with a 390 cubic inch V8 engine would be worth about $70,000 in good condition. But it goes on. This story and this tells why it's so valuable. But we just kind of covered that a little bit. So just after the movie debuted, the Mustang was sold to a Warner Brothers employee. The Warner Brothers parking permit remains affixed to the windshield to this day, by the way. It had one subsequent owner before Robert Kiernan, who had responded to an ad in Roden Track and bought it for $3,500 in 1974, according to his son. It became Kiernan's family, it became their just regular car.
They were driving around in Bullitt's car?
Shopping trips, taking kids to the school for years. McQueen managed to track the car down, reached out to the family, offering several times to buy it from them. He even offered to buy the family another car to replace it, but Robert Kiernan refused, his son Sean said. He said this was like one of three cars. He said this wasn't like one of three cars that my dad had. This was it. This was our family car, and we needed it. He said McQueen's in California. My mom and dad were in Jersey, so the logistics alone would have been a pain. And then beyond that, leave my mom without a car. So the Mustang was also just great fun to drive, Sean said, thanks to the engine tuning and suspension modifications made for the movie.
Yeah.
At McQueen's request, by the way. In 1980, the clutch failed, and the car was put into a garage. It was moved from one garage to another, from New Jersey to Kentucky, as the family moved. In 2001, Robert and Sean started working on the car to make it drivable again, but had to stop when Robert became ill with Parkinson's disease. He died in 2014. Sean returned to the garage to try again, he said. This time, he was able to restore the car to running condition. In 2016, he said that he reached out to Ford and had the car authenticated by independent Mustang experts. Documentation, including the letters from McQueen begging to purchase it, along with alterations made to the car for filming, such as holes cut into the trunk for power cables, backed up the authenticity. So it had just sat there.
I'm surprised.
Not in good condition. It was just used as a regular day-to-day vehicle.
I'm surprised Ford didn't jump all over this earlier. Mm-hmm.
So $3.7 million is what that
it's
car
a beautiful car.
It's an awesome car. That 68 Fastback is one of the most badass-looking vehicles ever made, yeah. I think. It's such a cool car.
Do you prefer that or the 68 Camaro?
That's pretty awesome, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go Mustang.
Yeah, I'm going to go Camaro.
Yeah,
not to be contrarian, but...
Yeah. So anyhow, it's been sold, and somebody will return that to its glory.
It's probably someone who has a lot of money.
And fix it up the way it should be.
Gary Lauer.
And who knows what they'll end up doing with it.
Casey, I just bought something.
But I thought it was an interesting story how, you know...
Just sitting there!
Did they even know that that it was as, you know, infamous, or not infamous, but as famous as it was, yeah.
Steve, I think we've talked about this before, but is the Bond Aston Martin your favorite movie car?
Yeah, and funny thing, Nick, I was puttering around in my garage. I lifted up a tarp, and there it was.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I had no idea. Wow. Just sitting there, perfectly polished, and then it was actually running.
I saw Star Wars over the weekend. I'd seen it before, but I took my son to see Skywalker, and they had the trailer for the next Bond movie. And it looks like a classic Aston Martin that comes back in the next one.
Yeah, the DB Coupe 6, I believe it is.
Okay.
And it's you know, God, I love that car. And he's actually been driving it in the past couple of Bonds. With other newer Aston Martins, but that classic look is there's a scene where he's just doing donuts,
yeah,
with the machine guns firing.
Yeah.
You cannot get those from the manufacturer, though. Yeah. When they talk to you know, there's a documentary about the making of Goldfinger when they put together that first car. And the Aston Martin company said, what do you want this for?
They didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. And so they gave them sort of a test vehicle and a couple of things. So there were two or three of them that they had fixed with all these pneumatic things. But those were all physical effects. The shield did come up, and the battering rams and all that stuff, the revolving license plates, it was all
nice
part of the car.
I always wanted an oil slick or a smoke screen.
Well, it's funny, too, because you see, like in the movie Thunderball, there's these sprays of water that come out the back. The car would have to be the size of a tanker truck to put a, but, you know, you suspend belief because it's Bond.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind, Case. I was going to have him play Goldfinger. Goldfinger!
He's the man with the Midas touch. A spider's touch. Goldfinger! Pretty girl, beware of his heart of gold. His heart is cold.
That's why I wanted you to play.
Yeah. He loves only gold. Only gold. He loves gold.
Oh, timeless. Boy.
Did you hurt yourself on that?
It hurts, but I do it for my craft, for
you
my
do
art.
It for the craft. All right, let me see what else I got in the junk. In celebration of its 125th anniversary, the New York Public Library, which is the second largest in the U.S. after the Library of Congress, has released...
throwing out the books?
No. Oh, no. They released its list of the top 10 checked out books of all time.
Ah.
And in first...
is one of them Goldfinger?
Place, no.
Mr. Goldfinger!
No.
One of the most popular books at the New York Library. It's on the list.
In first place, I'll just start right at the top here, is the children's picture book, The Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats.
Sucks. I don't even know.
It's about a child enjoying his city's first snowfall.
I don't stupid. Know that book. Yeah.
Oh, I know this book. I love this book when I was terrible. A kid. Absolutely.
Get the Caldecott Award. Yeah, the Caldecott Medal. Remember that? Remember the little imprint on the front of it?
Yeah, it's a gold sticker that would be a gold
sticker! On this crappy book about a kid walking in the snow!
Gold
sticker! It's not... It is on the list?
Yeah.
It's on the list!
It's number one on the list.
Number one!
So, like, I think, like, you know, you'd find that on Where the Wild Things Are and maybe The Hungry Caterpillar, those classic ones. So I remember this book, yeah. So it was a child enjoying his first city's first snowfall. It's been borrowed 485,584
imagine the germs on that, Kathy.
Times.
Since probably it was got syphilis all over it.
First published in 1962. Another book, Dr. Seuss's The Cat in the Hat, was in second place.
Okay.
Were you a Seuss fan as a kid?
Oh, yeah. Very much so. And in fact, I've been going through a cleaning out process at our house and,
great purge.
We found way too many books that we need to get rid of. And so I did, and I donated them to the Laurel House, thrift shop that raises money for the Laurel House. But we kept all of our Dr. Seuss books. And I had to stop and flip through Go Dog Go, and I had to look through Happy, you know, the birthday book, and you know,
Two Girls in a Cup. It was the one most wonderful cup. It was.
There are a lot of Dr. Seuss books, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
I see two girls in a cup,
dozens.
I say to you, girls, can you tell me what's up?
I'll tell you what's up. Just look in the cup. You'll know after watching that, you won't be able to sup.
It's full of throw up.
And upchuck.
Okay.
It's full of throw up.
Come on, man.
I tell you this, I was sort of in and out of Dr. Seuss. I was like, I love The Cat in the Hat, being a cat guy.
Green Eggs and Ham is
great.
Kind of like the only one that I really.
Oh, the Yellow Belly Sneetches. I love that one. The 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cubbins. We were big. Big Dr. Seuss.
Somebody was asking if the fact that Theodore Geisel himself was supposedly not the most likable guy.
He's supposed to be a douchebag.
But the
doesn't matter.
The stuff stands on its own.
Doesn't
it is
matter.
What it is, you know, and that's it.
Yep.
I mean, I love Hitler's joke books. You know?
Sure.
Now, mind you, the guy himself, not funny.
No.
No.
But the book.
Horrible.
Yeah.
But his riddles and sniglets.
No.
Hilarious.
Sniglets. I thought Rich Hull created
oh,
that.
Oh, no, that was Hitler.
Oh,
crazy definitions.
Was it Hitler that came up with the joke, what's the worst thing about ducks not wearing pants?
If the joke is funny, yes.
You see their butt quacks?
See, that's a perfect Hitler joke.
Yeah. My daughter made that up.
It's a dad joke.
It's a daughter joke. It's a daughter joke.
Daughter. All right, so may I continue?
Yes.
Okay.
Another children's book, The Cat in the Hat, I said, was in second place. Then, other children's book on the list. I don't have the top 10.
What?
But
you take us down this path.
You said there was the top 10, and then you don't have it.
I don't. Blame the goddamn story here.
Why did I ever hire the show?
Bill would be happy. He hates it when I fill out all 10 things
when
in
you
order.
Defy expectation, Bill loves that.
All right, so what about The Giving Tree? That's the one book that I, as a child, that really stuck with me.
It might be on the list.
These are all kids' books.
That's Shel Silverstein. Mm-hmm. It is an incredibly beautiful and sad story as well.
The tree dies at the end, right?
He lives on.
Kind of, yeah, it lives on. The dude dies. Yeah. Anyway, Maurice Sendak's Where the Wild Things Are was in fourth place, and fifth place was E.B. White's Charlotte's Web. No, it was sixth.
Hmm. What's
okay. It doesn't say. Charlotte's
What's
Web.
In fifth place?
I don't know, but Bill would be proud because he hates it when things go in order, and I just completely left out.
It's probably Goldfinger. I knew it was on this list.
You want the whole list?
Charlotte's Web is in sixth.
I love Charlotte's Web as a kid. One of my favorite books.
I read that to my son when he was a kid, when he was really young. And so that book will always have a special place in my heart.
Wait a second. I know why it's only these. It's just highlighting the kids' books. There are other books. Because number three is 1984 from Orwell.
One of my favorite books.
That's a great book.
It's hilarious.
No, it's not.
No, it's that and Animal Farm.
I wanted to go back and read that again. I will eventually get back to 94. It's a mind tweak. For
absolutely.
Sure.
If you want to see the John Hurt, Richard Burton.
I've seen it.
It's beautifully done.
When did that come out?
That was, I think, around 1984.
Yeah,
they
wanted to get it out then. But there's some good stuff in there. Number five on the list was To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee, of course.
Great book.
Number six, Charlotte's Web. Number seven, Fahrenheit 451.
That's my mom's favorite book of all time.
Bradbury.
I love Bradbury. Yeah. If you've never read Bradbury's stuff, it still holds up. And Fahrenheit 451, Francois Truffaut made a great movie. Of it. Has she ever seen that, Nick?
I don't know. There was an HBO miniseries that came out last year or the year before.
Good.
Okay, that's what I
not
heard
as
too.
Good as the Francois Truffaut.
But my mom was an English teacher her whole career, and she taught that book every year and reread it every year.
I didn't mind the HBO thing. It was,
I didn't see it.
Michael Jordan.
Oh, Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah.
Wasn't he
the star in it?
He was, yes. He was Montag.
They made a modern twist on it.
It was more like Grease.
There were a lot of great songs.
So weird.
Yeah.
Burning books and everything.
And Firehouse Dropout.
Yeah.
That was
Firehouse Dropout.
Poor guy. Couldn't light a fire to save his life. So number eight on the list was How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yep. Number nine, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Wow.
This is a kid's book.
It is. And then the last one, hey, I mentioned this earlier, The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
You did?
I loved that book as a kid.
What's the story?
It's a picture book mainly, but it's a caterpillar. And as you go through the book, there are little holes in the book that have, each pay. No, for your dog.
I knew. Yeah.
You knew?
I knew he was going to put a penis through the hole. I knew it.
I thought it was a glory hole book. I didn't know.
No, it's as if the caterpillar's eating holes in the book.
Oh.
If I recall correctly. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you? You did.
Put my D through it? No.
Oh,
yeah,
they're too small.
Yeah,
they're too small.
There's holes in the book as it goes through.
Plus a kid
eats through the food. You've just destroyed a classic.
You did. You ruined it.
I was thinking much bigger.
All right.
Caterpillar's Weekend.
Hey, Casey.
Yeah?
Where did Hitler keep his armies?
Jesus. I don't know.
In his sleeveys.
In his sleeves.
Oh, his armies.
Armies go
in his sleeveys.
Oh, Jesus. That's
good, right?
Stupid.
That's actually good.
Yeah. Hang on. I'm going to go to Jen. She wants a comment on the Giving Tree. Hi, Jen. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, girls, hey.
Hey, what's up?
I'm actually calling because I love the Giving Tree so much that I got the tattoo of the old man sitting on the stump. I actually have that tattooed on my rib.
Wow.
And, well, it gets kind of annoying because the old man's head peeks out of my bathing suit. So I have to constantly explain it. But one funny fact about Shel Silverstein is that he used to actually do Playboy editorial columns.
I would read them.
In the 70s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he wrote the song A Boy Named Sue.
Mm-hmm.
He's an interesting guy for sure. We have Where the Sidewalk Ends. We have The Giving Tree. We have a bunch of Shel Silverstein
books. How does the Giving Tree ends with the kid?
It starts as the kid, and then we get an apple from the tree, and he ages, the tree ages, the tree eventually gets cut down.
He cuts it down, though.
He does cut it down?
Yeah,
make a canoe, right?
Preston, you're butchering it. You're totally
Damn you to hell.
He keeps taking from the tree for his well-being, for his benefit.
Uh-huh. Without nurturing the tree. Right. That's the lesson.
Yep.
So that it's constantly him taking from the tree, and the tree's always giving. So in the end, when he's an old man and he comes back to the tree, she's nothing but a stump. And she's apologizing because she doesn't have anything to give him. She doesn't have any apples. And he says, well, I don't have any teeth to really eat apples.
And then the tree says, then we're both effed.
Yeah, we're both effed right in the bunghole.
That's actually the wording from the book.
Yeah.
And it actually says,
Jen, what's the metaphor here? What's the lesson that is to be learned?
Only go to certified apple dealers.
No, it depends upon. Like, I looked into it, and sometimes they say that it's like a mother child situation. Other people,
I think it's
just a general. I think
don't always take. You have to give.
Exactly.
Right. Well, I read the expanded edition where when he came back, there was actually a knot hole in the in the stump, and he's like, "I'm going to finally give you something."
It's amazing that you guys can ruin.
And he banged it.
I got a porker.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah.
Did I do okay, Jen, with that one?
Yeah, but it's kind of weird because the page ends with him finding that hole and licking his
tongue. I like her.
Yeah, I like Jen.
I like Jen a lot. You need to come in here so we can see your tattoo.
You would figure that maybe he would turn the stump into a bowl or something like that.
Say that again, Jen.
I have a totally random story that I think Casey might remember because I was day drinking one day because my kids were out of the house and I was like, Mama's going to have some fun.
All right.
So I was day drinking, and it was the day that Casey went into the brand new remodeled Grumal Wawa.
Yeah.
He apparently, lived for that stuff.
Oh, was that number one?
No. The Grumal Wawa, my Wawa, got refurbished, and I Facebook Live that, didn't I?
Yes, and I was drunk, and I was like, Casey, and I kept trying to get you to talk to me.
In the middle of the day.
You were like, Jennifer, can you just calm down?
Do you remember this?
No. I was pretty wasted.
Yeah, Casey does remember, but he doesn't doubt it happened. So
I don't hate you for it.
Yeah, you're having fun at a Wawa. There's worse things to do.
I was like, he's hanging at a Wawa and he won't talk to a drunk girl.
I love running into drunk people at Wawa, don't you?
In the middle of the day.
Which I pressed it. You bear hug him and pick him up.
Yeah. But wait, were actually at the Wawa or you were doing this on Facebook Live?
No, you were Facebook Living like, oh, I'm at the Wawa, three done, it's beautiful, like real Delco.
Yeah, but he's asking, were you physically at Wawa or were you on Facebook?
I was on FaceTime.
Oh, okay. Right. I thought she got drunk and drove to Wawa.
That's why you don't remember.
Let me just pick up my kids.
I leaned against the trash can. I ate a hoagie against the trash can. No.
Oh, my God. Have you been day drinking this morning?
Today?
No.
Okay.
No, I stopped day drinking because usually what I do is I think I mastered it, so now I don't do it as often because you got to start early, take a little nap, and then go right back into it.
Okay.
So you mastered it, and you're like, okay, been there, done that, on to meth.
Well, on to meth, and also I was like, I lived my dream of harassing Casey while he was showing us the newly remodeled Wawa like I gave to, Dollar signs, SITs.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Thank you, Jen.
But, yeah, I want to come in.
Thank you, Jen.
I'll come in and show you.
Jen Hour.
All right.
All right.
I think we changed our mind on that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen. We're watching the video of you at Wawa, Casey.
It was a good day.
Somebody pulled that up. Was it a good day?
Yeah. I mean, look at my beard.
That was full.
It
was
fully erect. Oh, my God. That was the year of me painting my fingernails. Oh, I got to tell you, people love that.
Well, anyhow, in case you were curious, I think we were talking about books, right?
Yeah, the most checked out books from the library.
From the New York Library, public library. Yeah.
Very popular library.
Real quick, do you guys belong to a library? Do you guys still check out books and stuff like that?
All the time, yeah. And movies. The Radnor Public Library just remodeled. It's fantastic.
Okay.
No, I should.
It's been years. Honest. When I was a kid, though, it was the, and all the way through my teen years when we were had our house that we were raised in, we were always going to the library. Every weekend was a thing we do with our dad.
Yeah, my wife is a voracious reader, and so we belong to a couple of different libraries. Ours here, and then one down the shore. But I believe, Preston, you can actually rent audiobooks. Don't quote me on
that.
You can. Okay.
Mm, yeah, you absolutely can.
Okay.
Yeah, and Casey, often if you join one library in a specific county, like I'm a Delco County member because that's where Radnor is, and you can go to any library in Delco and rent books from there.
Okay. Do they have other people's ears all over them, though?
No.
The audiobooks?
No, you're cool.
Question about audiobooks. What format do they come in? Are they on disc?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Or do you? Can you now somehow another
78.
Digital. You know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's digital. It's got to be digital.
I don't know how they would regulate that. I guess give you some kind of a code.
Maybe through the website. I'll have to find out.
Okay. All right. Anyhow, in case you were curious, those are the top 10 books that are rented out. Or
interesting. I wonder why it was just kids' books.
Man. Wait a minute. Hold on. Can I go to this call?
Yeah.
Yes. Amber apparently knew Shel Silverstein. I'm going to go to her. Hi, Amber. Good morning.
Hello there.
Hi, Amber. It says here that you would house sit for Shel Silverstein?
Yes. Me and my friend, when we were teenagers, her mom was friends with him, and he had a house in Key West. And he had a really weird, quirky house. Like, there was a bike that was chained to a tree that was, like, 4 feet above the ground because he lost the lock. So we housed it there. And, of course, we, like, invited a bunch of boys over. And we broke one of his old antique wicker couches, like, making out on them.
Mm.
And then we started snooping around. We found something we had never even heard of. They were lambskin condoms.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Still in the lamb.
Yeah, with a drawstring on them and everything.
A drawstring?
Yeah.
Wow. He must have been big.
Oh, my God. We were so confused, but, you know, obviously crippled.
Did he find out that you'd broken the couch?
No, okay. I don't think he sat in that room very much. It was like looked like more like a formal sitting room, like where people would, and we kind of rigged it up. Like the wicker, and you know, put pillows, and we put a bunch of blankets over it. And
what was he like in person?
We never met him for more than like a minute in passing. Like him and the mom hung out, but like we would just house it, and like that was it.
You had a lot of condoms to go through.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, I think they went out and did their own thing.
We're looking at a article here that says Shel Silverstein's home. This looks like the home you're talking about destroyed.
Oh wow!
Yeah, there was a bad hurricane rolled through the Keys. What, 3 years ago?
No, and, Nick. It says that he took an axe to it after finding out his couch had been broken.
I don't think that was true at all.
Oh, no,
it was a natural disaster.
Interesting. All right. Well,
I didn't hear that. That's horrible.
That's a cool story though. Thanks for sharing, Amber. I appreciate it.
Shel Silverstein blows up own house after finding broken couch.
I was just reading about him. He had one daughter. And he reportedly met his wife. Wait, one
no,
daughter.
No, he never married. It was his,
oh, you're
it was,
right.
It was the mother of his child he met at the Playboy
at
Mansion.
At the Playboy Mansion, yeah.
Mm. But very sad. His
Susan Hastings.
Yeah, she died.
I know you're Shel Silverstein. You're not the Giving Tree.
Want to give him something?
I'm going to give you something. Give you a little wood.
She died. Yeah, I'm reading this, Kathy. One day before their daughter's fifth birthday.
Oh,
And then the daughter died
at 11 years old of a cerebral aneurysm. He had a son named Matthew with a woman named Sarah Spencer out of Key West. She drove a tourist trackless train, and inspired Shel's song "The Great Conk Train Robbery." And
in
1999, no Conk Shel, Conk. he was 68 years old. He died in 1999. He had a heart attack in Key West.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Why did this got dark?
Yeah,
this
got, right? It got sad.
This got really, really
You
sad.
Know, as they say at the beginning of Brian's song, well, actually, they're quoting Ernest Hemingway. I don't know why I went to Brian's song. But all true stories end in death.
Ah, this is true.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, do we do another story or should we need to take a break?
No.
Let's explore the life of Ernest Hemingway now.
Ended in suicide. Yay!
Woo! I never have read any Hemingway.
I used to love Hemingway. Yeah. I read most everything. Yeah.
What would you recommend? Old Man and the Sea?
Old Man in the Sea is great. Snows of Kilimanjaro.
Heard it short, Old Man in the
it
Sea.
It is, yeah.
Islands in the Stream is one of my favorites. The Dolly Parton. And
that is
what we are. But the book itself.
Sail away with me.
And we rely on each other.
You're jumping ahead, dude.
I know, I have to. That's my favorite part.
No. Okay, so what are you saying, Case? We should break
I say not? We take a break. What all do right. you guys say?
Yeah, take a break.
Who's with me?
All right, let's do it. Thank you.
Hey!
He just left the room.
What happened?
What happened
to the Delta I knew?
Oh, no, dude, wherever. You might get in trouble.
All right, that's my junk drawer. Outro music, please.
Outro music.
We've got a President Steve tattoo to give away. Text the word tattoo to 39333. You just might win from world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. Don't forget that the 22nd Annual Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention is coming this weekend only at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. You can visit villainarts.com for the details. We also have $500 to give away, and that's courtesy of Dr. Oz. That's going to be coming up around 9:30-ish. Hopefully you watched yesterday's program. We'll come back in a second. The Geeter is stopping by. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Highly suspect.
Ozzy Osbourne.
The Who, featuring Ashes to New.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
So it's been a little while since we've been in the same room with our next guest, so I figured I'd play this song. To get us in the mood for his show coming up on the 25th. It is the Disco, Rock and Roll and Soul Show at the Kimmel Center, starring the one and only Jerry Blavin. Yeah.
Good God, ladies and gentlemen, Radio Land, I've landed in a rocket ship again.
Yes.
But Cape Canaveral is the other way.
It looks wild out there, right? They're doing construction on the building. It does look like NASA here.
What are they doing?
Well, the actual, all the stations here with the Beasley Media Group here are have all been brought together on this floor, but the building itself, they're doing a refurb on the windows, so it hasn't quite looked itself for a while.
It looks like Philadelphia traffic.
Exactly.
So I played Reunited. That's Peaches and Herb.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're going to be playing Peaches and Herb. I said Herb, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to make sure I didn't say Peaches and Herb. I've always said that. Peaches and Herb.
That's a reggae band.
You know what his real name is? Herb Fame, F-A-M-E. And he was a policeman before he became a singer in Washington, D.C.
I did not know that. Yeah, now, are he and Peach's husband and wife? I would always assume they were. No,
They're just, you know.
They're just singers.
They're just produce friends. Thing.
Yeah. So Peaches and Herb is going to be on the bill, right?
Right. And Shy Lights, Gary U.S. Bonds, 2:45, The Tramps, The Happenings, a tribute to Jackie Wilson.
Oh, really?
And his son, Bobby Wilson, who looks exactly, sings exactly like him, and also a tribute to the late Johnny Maestro with his original crest with Johnny's singer lead, Tommy Mara, who takes everything like what Johnny does with the keys.
Was Jackie Wilson one of the greatest showmen you've ever seen?
No question about it.
Yeah.
You know, in show business, there were three guys, Sammy Davis, Jackie Wilson, and James Brown. I mean, these were the three real performers.
What do you think of Bruno Mars? I think he fits squarely in there.
I think the kid is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think he has an old soul, and I think he's got a rocking beat with him, you know, which
is an important
thing.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Think about, like, a guy like James Brown, at least from what I've read and seen, was, you know, not only an amazing natural talent, but his work ethic and his perfectionism was just, we're going to put on a show.
Yeah.
And
every time.
We are not going to mess it up.
You guys had to see James Brown work. You know, he had two drummers. And when he would go into rehearsal, he could hear if one note was off. And he'd say, stop. Man, you hit a clinker. You do it again and you'll find $100.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a real master on putting that band together.
Held them tight.
Oh, man.
I believe it. And that's why he could just, like, gesture. He would just, you know,
a hand would go this way or what, and they knew what it, and the band was boom.
They were right on.
Well, that's like with us. Anybody says anything that's inaccurate or whatever, $100 fine. $100 fine. Anything that's not amusing, $100.
But you know, Sammy was just natural with everything he did. I mean, Sammy never rehearsed. He had Murphy Bennett, and he had George Rhodes, and these cats knew Sammy's mood. So when Sammy would get on stage, he would have a set. But then he would change it, man, depending upon the reaction that he was getting from the audience.
And he'd do hours. People talk about Springsteen, but they do, like, you know, four-hour shows.
Right. There's a show called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and I'm sure you were going to bring this
That's
part
exactly
up.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up, yeah.
There's the singer on there, Shy
Baldwin.
Yeah. And there's a part where the band's getting ready to go on stage, and all of a sudden he grabs a stool, and they all of a sudden everybody starts going, stool set, we're playing a stool set. And the band knows, nobody says anything, they just go right in and do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, that's show business, man. Yeah. You know, even with Sinatra, I mean, depending upon the audience, he would change songs. You know, I mean, he would say at that time his son, you know, Frank Jr. was conducting, and he said, throw that out. We're not going to do that. Do this one. And, you know, at the end, it was sad because he was reading teleprompter. And the guy with the teleprompter was not ready for the next song that he wanted to do. And he'd, on stage, you know, go off a little bit.
I think when he did the Madison Square Garden show, the famous show that was, you know, or at least the first time, that was, I remember seeing shots of him, and there's the teleprompters there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's still, to be able to pull off that stuff, there's a... I mean, we're perpetually fascinated with it. It's cool, too, to see other entertainers, even you know, across all age groups and generations, being sort of now fascinated with that Rat Pack, you know, Sinatra, that whole deal. That's now become another, that has another rebirth. Have you seen this happening lately where people are sort of embracing that again?
Steve, the secret of what they did is they were having fun, Preston and Steve. Mm-hmm. They were having fun, and the audience caught that coming into the show. And that's the secret. When you get on stage, man, you have to have fun. Like, this show is a fun show.
Right.
You guys are having fun. The listeners out there, they're listening because they're having fun with you.
Well, we appreciate that. So this show, you're now, you know who's going to be front and center. Pierre Robert is always always attends. But the show sort of it's sort of ageless and defies. You know, a lot of times you'll go, you may not know the artist, but you will know
the songs.
The songs. Yeah. There's a lot of them will be part of sort of the American songbook. You know what I mean? And so who's on the bill?
Well, you know, this is the 41st show. And it's hard to believe I've done 41 shows since the Kimmel Center opened up. And it's when you say soul.
Yeah.
The Shy Lights. Ooh, girl. Have you seen her? When you say rock and roll, Gary U.S. Bonds, you're talking about Jackie Wilson. When you say disco, you're talking about the Tramps. You're talking about Peaches and Herb.
Tramps did Disco Inferno.
Disco Inferno, right. You know, Zing Want the Strings, Hold Back the Night, Where Do the Happy People Go. And the wonderful thing about these shows, they're surrounded with a 40-piece orchestra.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Nobody in show business at the beginning, when they were first starting, had a 40-piece orchestra.
Yeah.
Even today, there are no venues where you can have a 40-piece orchestra. We take the exact song, exact chart, and apply it to 40 pieces. Strings, percussion, horns, trumpets. It's an amazing sound.
It is.
At the Kimmel.
It's a very cool, it's at a great venue. That's why people, it's funny, after you'll come in and talk about the show and people go see it, and we'll get email from people who just, I didn't know what to expect, and they're blown away. Because it is sort of, it's an experience.
Rock and roll, in the true essence of rock and roll, was Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Fats Domino, Bo Diddley, Jerry Lee Lewis. And, of course, the term rock and roll changed the way it is today. But it was always soul, street corner, and rock and roll, and disco. It just carried on every year. And when music is good, it's timeless.
Mm-hmm. Forgive me if we've asked this question before, but is it true that Sammy Davis Jr. proposed to his wife in your mother's house?
In my house.
In your house?
Over spaghetti.
Used to have the members of the Rat Pack. You had Sinatra, right?
Well, you know, when I really was really doing really, really whatever,
yeah.
I bought a 22-room estate next to Cardinal Kroll at 5859 Overbrook Avenue. And I'd have everybody over. When Sammy was in town, he'd say, hey, we're coming over. Okay. My mom would cook. I mean, we had a 22 room. Sinatra would come over. Frankie Valli would come over. Rickles would come over. It was always a family thing. And I grew up in a family of show business. So these guys felt comfortable with me. I mean, it was like me, you talking right now. You feel comfortable. You feel safe. And that's the way it was.
Did Sammy tell you that he was going to propose?
No, this is the greatest story. And it's in my book, You Only Rock Once.
Was the ring in a meatball?
between the scungili, the lasagna, the spaghetti, and the sausage.
Wow.
So we're there with Lola Falana. She was one of the dancers. And Altavis was one of his dancers at the Latin. And we're all there, and his mom was there, Babe Sanchez. And he says, Gita, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, Sam, what do you want me to do? He said, do you know a judge? Everybody went, whoop. I said, Sam, you got a problem? No. Altavis, I'm going to marry you. Well, everybody just went, boom.
Yeah.
His mother kicked me. What's this little doing now? She had no idea he was going to propose to her that night. And she started to cry. And he said, you will marry me, right? She said, I will, Sam. Lola Falana, who thought that she would probably be the next Sammy Davis, excused herself, got into the limo, and went back to the hotel.
Okay. Lola Falana was super hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she wind up with if you remember, George Hamilton. Mm-hmm. You remember George Hamilton?
Yeah, super tan. He does Kentucky Fried Chicken commercials. He does.
And then she wind up with Wayne Newton.
Wow. No, she was big in Vegas for the longest time. Yeah.
That's what happened.
Now, I think you told us a story one time when Sammy wanted you guys to watch the movie Deep Throat over at your house. Was that another story?
Well, let me tell you, Sammy was the greatest.
Was he the hardest partier?
Oh, listen, Sammy at the age of 4 was dancing with his dad and Will Masterson. Sammy got his education on the road from watching TV and watching shows. He never really read. Sammy would watch. Sammy would look at you guys and pick up things on you and would be able to do it.
He was an impressionist, too. Really good impressionist.
The greatest.
Yeah.
He was a musician, an impressionist, a dancer, and a great singer.
Yeah.
Acting, not too good. But
I don't know, man. Cannonball Run, I thought he was pretty damn good.
You would be good in that.
Yeah. That movie was a lot of fun. There were a lot of guys were in there.
And Sinatra, how about him there? He wanted to be the godfather.
Yeah. Sinatra was a good actor. Yeah.
Jerry, I wanted to ask you, if you don't mind me switching gears for a moment, because we didn't know if you knew this gentleman or not, but apparently a gentleman named Jerry Stevens, the first program director of WMMR, passed.
He was one of the original WIBG good guys. Good guy. As a matter of fact, he worked here with you guys for a long... Wasn't he program director for a while?
I think it
says
he was
the first, and then came back to do it again later on.
Yeah, the first WMMR program director.
Yes, exactly. Good guy. You see, back then, format radio... See, the great thing about what you do, it's no format. Folks, if you're out there in radio land, what you're hearing is what they're doing live. It's no format. Back then, you had to play this song. Back then, at 5 minutes past the hour, you had to do this jingle. You had to do that. That killed radio. You guys, with what you do, brought it back. And Jerry Stevens was one of the guys that did that. He knew he hated format. And he said to his guys, just be you. Play the music. This is going to be the list. I'm not going to tell you when to play it. You play when you feel that you feel your audience wants to hear it. And that's what radio is about.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we have clocks and stuff that we do, and that is stuff is scheduled. But there's, like, for example, Preston came in on Sunday with Pierre, and they did 3.5 hours of just off-the-cuff tribute to Neil Peart, the drummer from Rush.
Yeah. Right.
So that to have that latitude is something that's not common in radio. So it's very cool.
And you know what you guys do? You're informative for an audience. You have fun with the audience. You inform them about that. And look at TV today. All these morning shows are trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
They want to be informative. They want to be funny. They want to put the audience involved.
I'll tell you the difference, though, is that their information is correct. Ours is very often not. Yeah. But I think that's our charm, mm-hmm. is that yeah. you always know that whatever you're hearing here, just believe the opposite and you'll be good.
Like Pierre's speech.
Yeah. We were talking. So the last time we saw Jerry was at the Walk of Fame, and Pierre's, it was a wonderful ceremony. But that night, there was a ceremony where everyone got up to speak, and we heard of the legendary Pierre Robert speech. How long would you say that went for?
2.5 hours.
It was heartfelt, though.
It was heartfelt.
I
don't know how everybody else in the room felt, but I enjoyed it because it was
great.
It was great, yeah.
No, but that's Pierre. Look, that's like what you guys are. I mean, you know. Yeah.
So I hear you actually left his speech with two separate sets of birthday gifts.
I did. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because Naz came on after that.
Yeah.
You know, and. You know, by the way, I think he will be inducted this year, Todd Rundgren, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
I voted for him, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, listen, we want to point people in the direction of your show. It's coming up on January 25th. It's a Saturday, 8 o'clock, Kimmel Center. And tickets are available at KimmelCenter.org. But Gary U.S. Bonds, Peaches and Herb, the Shy Lights, the Tramps, Bobby Wilson paying tribute to Jackie Wilson. The happenings, a whole bunch of stuff, and just a lot of that. You do dance at this event,
don't
you? Oh,
yeah. You dance before and after in the lobby, in the plaza, and dance on stage and move with the geek. Don't be ashamed. Mention the geeter's name. Don't holler. Preston and Steve, it's not going to cost you a dollar.
Yeah. I love it. All right, Geeter, good to see you, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here. This is Peaches and Herb, by the way. I love this song.
Shake your groove thing. Shake your groove.
January 25th, it's the Geeter, Jared Blair. Good to see you, man. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us because we'll ask that question about Dr. Oz when we get back and give away $500. You cool with that, Case?
Sure.
All right, we'll do that when we get back. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Huxley. Celebrating our area's best talent.
Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community.
Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword local shots. Huxley, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
We have a question about the Dr. Oz show. I apologize for my tardiness here, but we're going to get to it now. On yesterday's show, Dr. Oz talks about 10 unexpected ways to use your microwave. What entree does he show? How to cook in the microwave? Caller number 10, you get a shot at it. 215-263-WMMR. Okay, what entree does Dr. Oz show you how to cook in the microwave? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer, and we are going to do the Bizarre File while you're calling in.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by HERS, shared by Philly families for over 7 decades. Pick up a bag of your favorite HERS at your local store during your next grocery trip, and you can keep it Philly. Keep it Philly, that's what I should say, with HERS. All right, so in Arizona, two men have been taken to the hospital after a stabbing that took place at the annual Christmas tree burning event that was taking place.
Damn it!
You would think...
Really brings down the Christmas tree burning ceremony.
People wouldn't stab each other in the Christmas tree burning event.
They would just stop stabbing each other!
Initial reports suggest a group was having a Christmas tree burning event and a fight broke out. Two men sustained stab wounds during the altercation.
Trying to burn some Christmas trees here.
They were transported to an area hospital. Injuries were non-life-threatening, and the story is developing. Police took a man into custody after he allegedly assaulted a flight attendant and then attempted to storm the plane's cockpit last week. This would be terrifying if you
absolutely
were on the flight. So a fellow passenger on the flight described the incident, saying that the plane was about to land when the suspect headed towards the cockpit in a full sprint.
Jeez.
A flight attendant and 6 law enforcement agents were injured in the ensuing scuffle. So this dude was out of his mind.
Check out the tent.
Wrong one.
What was the one you were going to play? There you go.
But now I'm going to play the other one, too.
Check out the tent we made.
Because on the way up to the cockpit, he's... put together a tent.
Matthew Dingley was taken into custody
after his United Express flight from Dulles International Airport landed in Newark. He reportedly began acting erratically during the flight and stormed the cockpit as the plane neared its destination. The passenger said this guy, full sprint, right up to the cockpit, hits the cockpit, starts banging on it. After a flight attendant attempted to intervene, Dingley began to attack her.
Dingley?
They described the flight...
Return to your seat.
He described the flight attendant as a slight woman, petite, and this guy was clocking her. Another passenger on the plane apparently had law enforcement experience and was able to help get the situation under control. Unfortunately, things didn't end there. Port Authority police took Dingley into custody, but only after he continued to fight with them. She was taken to a hospital, the flight attendant, and then six of the officers were injured. So this guy must have been...
on something?
Just losing it.
How thick is your average cockpit door?
It is... you know what? That's a good question, Steve. I know they reinforce the...
Right. Since like 9/11, they've done more to make sure they're reinforced. But I wonder how much... Well, I hope they're thick.
I would think so. But they got this guy. He's obviously going to be facing some serious charges for that incident. A 20-year-old Florida woman is facing a slew of criminal charges in connection with two separate incidents. In one dust-up, she reportedly tried to pee on an officer who was attempting to arrest her following a domestic violence incident. In the second, she allegedly tried to run down a man with her BMW, but claimed to be too high on cocaine to remember that attack.
Okay. Officers, well, that's her defense.
Officers responding to the home of Serena Maris Probus, sister-in-law.
Did I really commit a crime if I was too high to remember?
Learned the suspect was drunk and attempted to drive away with her six-month-old baby. Probus reportedly bit her sister-in-law on the hand when she tried to intervene and then tried to kick out the window of a patrol vehicle, prompting deputies to restrain her. As she was being restrained, she allegedly tried to pee on the deputies before spitting on one of them. After being booked on charges including domestic violence and battery on a law enforcement officer, she was slapped with an additional charge of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon in connection with an incident.
What a day I am pooped.
She had gotten into a fight with a man at a bar and later tried to run him over with her BMW. She allegedly accelerated at 15 miles an hour and struck the victim, locking him onto the hood of her car before braking and sending him flying onto the concrete. She reportedly said that she was high on cocaine and did not remember that evening. In a message sent to the victim following the incident, though, she allegedly wrote, tell Detective Murphy I hit you with the car and I'm going to tell her you deserved it and I would do it all over again if I could.
This is a defense attorney's dream.
Yeah. A driving teacher got arrested after driving drunk while teaching a student. Before that, he hit the Germantown High School principal. This is not locally.
Yeah.
It's in a different city. It was all caught on surveillance video. The video shows the instructor, Corey Malone, backing up into a gate, then hits the high school principal. According to police, when they tested Malone, his blood alcohol level was 3 times over the legal limit. In the back seat of the car, while all this was happening, was a student that Malone had picked up for his driving lesson. Malone later told police he didn't remember having a student in his car. Not a good sign.
Wow, he was really trash.
He works for a private driving school called Just Drive. Should be called Just Drink and Drive.
Yeah. Just drive, you dummy.
According to the police report, the owner of the driving school told police she smelled what she thought was alcohol on Malone before he left to go to the high school.
What?
She says he told her, apparently he said he quit drinking at midnight. Malone later told police it was probably closer to 2 a.m.
Well, not midnight this time zone.
But then he said, but he was not drunk like that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I mean, let's be adults here.
So he was taken into custody, obviously. And then, you know, one more quick story, and then we'll wrap it up. The parents of a teenager who suffered a seizure while chatting online have thanked his friend who called emergency services, and they did it from 5,000 miles away. Aiden Jackson, 17 years old, was talking to an American gamer from his bedroom. This is in the U.K., and apparently he started having a seizure. His friend, 20-year-old Dia Lathora from Texas, alerted police in the U.K. It's
amazing. This is an amazing story.
The first Aiden's parents knew the emergency was when police and an ambulance appeared at their front door. Caroline and Steve Jackson then rushed upstairs to find their son extremely disoriented. Ms. Jackson said, we were at home watching TV. He was upstairs. Next thing we noticed, two cops outside with flashing lights. They said there was
another. Let me just finish his Fortnite.
an unresponsive mail at the address. We said we hadn't called anybody. They said the call had come from America. Said I immediately went to check on Aiden and found him extremely disoriented. He had a seizure in May of 2019 and is waiting for a new appointment following the latest incident.
In a case like that, so you're...
I've had to call emergency services for someone else in another state.
Right.
I had to do it one time.
Yes, I remember this. And
they'll patch you through.
They will patch you through. If you call 911...
I called 911. I said I was talking to somebody. They're in this state, and I don't know what to do.
And they will patch you through.
And I need some help, and they managed to route me to the right...
That's good to know.
To the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because this is overseas.
Yeah, so I guess they have a protocol in place. And why not, especially with gaming and stuff like that.
Sure.
And people around the world that are connected that way.
Thank you, Texas. Go ahead.
Yeah. go ahead, Texas.
Go ahead, Texas. We're ready for your call.
All right, so we're going to see if we can get an answer to this on yesterday's show. Dr. Oz talks about 10 unexpected ways to use your microwave. I thought it was the wrong question. What entree does he show you how to cook in the microwave? 215-263-WMMR. We're going to start with caller number 10, and that is Dory. Hi, Dory.
Hi.
So, Dory, what entree does Dr. Oz show you how to cook in the microwave?
How about eggplant parm?
Eggplant parmesan is correct. Yes. Yay! You got it right, Dory. Hang on the line. We're going to get your information. We're going to give you $500. How's about that?
That's incredible.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy, and thank you for listening.
Thank you
so much. You bet. And watching Dr. Oz. You can get a daily dose of Dr. Oz. Each day, the Dr. Oz Show offers health tips, true crime stories, food investigations, and celebrity interviews. You can watch the Dr. Oz Show weekdays at 2. That's on Fox 29. So today, you'll want to watch, because we'll have a question about today's show tomorrow morning. You just might win $500, like Dory just did. Today is true crime. So they have breaking news. Why won't this doomsday cult mom tell authorities where her kids are? Ooh. So that's the headline today. We'll find out the story today at 2 o'clock with Dr. Oz.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll test your knowledge of the program from today with a lesson question, and we'll get the trash and music news as well. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
That band right there is Glorious Sons, the Sawed-Off Shotgun, or SOS, and they're going to stop by next week. And I believe they're going to be performing in the studio. They've been here before, so we're happy to have them back. Please be with us for that live musical event here on the Preston and Steve Show. 7 minutes after 10 on a Tuesday morning. Your next chance to win $1,000 coming up with Mr. Robert. Roughly around this time, around 11 o'clock, he's going to have the word for you, an easy money, and your opportunity to win a grand. So don't miss it. It happens 5 times every weekday, Monday through Friday here at WMMR. You can get all the details at WMMR.com. Don't miss it, okay? It's for a limited time. We're going to do today's lesson question and give away 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Home Show, which is going on this weekend at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Question, I think, today is who invented Snicklets? 215-263-WMMR. And it was not Rich Hall, by the way.
No.
Little did you know.
Misconception.
And somebody else had the idea first. Who invented Snicklets? If you were listening earlier, maybe you know. You should call. 215-263-WMMR. That's the number. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Stories. Steve's got the stories. What's going on, man?
Well, Property Brothers star Jonathan Scott telling the Today Show that his girlfriend Zooey Deschanel has made him a better man. Scott says it was like he was a big straw full of disgusting liquid, and Zooey sucked it all out of them.
Wow.
Hey! Despite great reviews, Uncut Gems and its star Adam Sandler were completely shut out of the Oscar nominations. Sandler issued a statement saying, "I shall be
Oh my God!"
And finally, astute royal watchers pointing out that Queen Elizabeth's statement regarding Prince Harry and Duchess Meghan Markle refers to them not by their titles, but as just Harry and Meghan. In fact, the Queen finishes off her statement even more informally, referring to them as Pud Tugger and the Queef of England.
Wow.
That's your Hollywood trash.
All righty. We'll see if you know the answer to the question. It's a simple one. Who invented Sniglets? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Matt and see if we can get the answer. Guys? Hey, bud. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Who invented Sniglets?
That would be Adolf Hitler.
Hitler. Yeah!
Isn't that crazy?
It's not true, but... So, Matt, hang on the line. We'll get your information. I'm going to give you a four-pack of tickets. Philly Home Show, the 17th through the 19th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. You can visit phillyhomeshow.com for tickets. When will we find out if you won your competition or not, Kathy?
We're going to find out Friday on Philly Live, which is on NBC 10 at 11:45 on Friday. And
any indication on how you're doing currently?
I mean, I would imagine I won.
Yeah.
but I don't know. I'm not sure.
We'll find out. We'll let you know what happens. We're going to do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Sending this one out to Rick Uncow, the Mongolian from Williamstown. Okay. His birthday today, and he texted in.
Really?
So, yeah, I was just looking for a spot to put it
That's cool.
The Mongolian from Williamstown.
We like the Mongolians.
There you go, man. All right, we're going to do Pearl Jam news. They will release their 11th studio album titled Gigatime, March 27th. It is official. Produced by Josh Evans and Pearl Jam, Gigaton marks the band's first studio album since the Grammy-winning Lightning Bolt, which came out in October of 2013. Man, it's been 7 years.
That's unbelievable.
Music. Yeah.
Do we know the meaning and or derivation of Gigaton?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
So it's about the amount of ice that will fall off of a glacier due to global warming.
Oh,
so
a gigaton. Okay.
A gigaton, yeah. It's not
gigaton.
Not like Peloton. It's gigaton.
Okay.
So it's a weight amount, a mass amount.
Gotcha. All right. So the first single is called Dance of the Clairvoyants. I think I've heard that name somewhere before. We knew what the title was going to be before they announced it. We'll arrive in a few weeks. We were asked to keep it quiet.
Actually, well, no, Bill said next week. And then we were allowed to say that. So it's middle of next week.
Oh.
Not sure the exact time, but I don't know if you were in the studio, Preston, but Bill came in earlier and let us know, and that's okay to say. But middle of next week, we'll get the new single.
And the clairvoyants always know what song is coming up next.
Yeah, I did not know that. So Mike McCready said, making this record was a long journey. It was emotionally dark and confusing at times, but also an exciting and experimental roadmap to musical redemption. Collaborating with my bandmates on Gigaton ultimately gave me greater love, awareness, and knowledge of the need for human connection in these times. The album cover features Canadian photographer, filmmaker, and marine biologist Paul Nicklin's photo, Ice Waterfall, taken in Svalbard, Norway. This image features the Nordøstlandet ice cap gushing high volumes of meltwater. The same image appeared on billboards around the world over the past weekend as Pearl Jam sent fans on a scavenger hunt for clues about the album release. They do have North American tour dates in March and April, but they're going to be hitting pretty much Canadian stops. They will do one show in Baltimore on March 28th.
Which is a Saturday.
Okay, which is Royal Farms Arena.
And then they're going to do MSG in New York on Monday, the 30th.
Okay.
And then they're going to do Phoenix, Arizona on April 11th, when I'm going to be in Phoenix, Arizona by complete coincidence.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to go to that show. And also, Preston, I don't know if you have it listed there, but they're changing the way they're doing tickets. Casey, we were talking last week, I think, about the Eagles tickets and having it be e-tickets only.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam is going in that direction. So it's going to be you're going to have a smartphone. They're going to try to make it so that tickets can't be scalped nearly as easily. But there are going to be weird restrictions applied to it. Like, if you buy the ticket, you're the one that has to take that ticket into the arena, into the venue. So I don't know how it's all going to work out, but it's very different than anything.
Security measure.
Kind of. Security, anti-scalping, and hopefully, in theory, fan-friendly, too. So
is it going to be like ticket wristband, too, or just a straight-up ticket?
Ticket on your phone only. So smartphone only, and you will be required to have some type of ID attached to your ticket.
They're doing a ticket corncob pipe case, which is a new thing. Which is very cool.
Well, listen, they've done kind of off of the out of the box ideas for tickets in the past. So, you know, I mean, as far as purchasing tickets go,
they've always tried to put the kibosh on scalping. Yeah, that's been a big thing for them,
and trying to keep the prices reasonable.
And I think that's what the intent is here, so that they don't end up in scalpers' hands or even like StubHub places like that. It's going to be hopefully direct from the band to the fans. Hmm.
Do you foresee them doing a longer tour that would include a Philadelphia stop?
The rumors are they're going to do these North American dates, including New York and Baltimore. Then they're going to go to Europe, and then they're going to come back and do more North American dates. But that's only rumor, only conjecture at this point. But I would be very surprised if they skip Philly. This is a really strong market. They always sell out when they come here. And people come from Boston and New York and D.C. to Philly shows.
And it's where Nick lives.
Exactly. And so
they've proven that they can do multiple days and sell out here as well.
Yeah, never been a problem. Occasions.
Just from a financial perspective, it makes sense to come to this town. So I would think they'd be here in the fall, but you never know.
Okay. Rush, which played its final show in August of 2015, apparently had turned down a recurring offer to play a Las Vegas residency. The revelation of the offer came from journalist John Katzelmeets from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, who recalled a conversation they had a few months ago with Bobby Reynolds, senior vice president and concert promoter AEG Live in Las Vegas. When he told Reynolds that he was still waiting for a Rush residency, Reynolds responded with, "Rush was my first concert. I put every kind of damn offer you can put in front of Rush." Reynolds revealed that the offer was made in late 2015, so it would have been shortly after they retired.
Right.
Through early 2016, with plans to have the Canadian trio play T-Mobile Arena 4 or 6 weekends a year. Reynolds explained Las Vegas would have been the only place you could see Rush, and I think it would have been incredible. You look at that opportunity now, well, we'll never know what it would have meant. Rush's final show took place at the Forum in Los Angeles August 1st in 2015. But they were retired. They were done. They didn't want to.
Yeah.
You know.
Is like Vegas the only place that does you really get away with that? I mean, I guess MSG can kind of do that, but there's too many activities that happen.
Hospitals
in that building.
Well,
yeah, they do.
The thing about it, I think, is that it's a destination where you can certainly have many other entertainment options outside of just that one particular show of going to, and you make a week out of going to Vegas.
The Who did it. You know, I mean, they've done residency there. So you're right. If you know where they are and you're a big enough fan.
I mean, any big city could do it.
Yes.
You know, for sure. And it's just a matter of having other reasons to go there than just that particular
Hoover
show.
Hoover Dam.
Yeah. And certainly Vegas has plenty of them.
Well, the only reason I ask is, you know, can Philadelphia be that destination for a bigger band?
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
But I think that, like I said, the appeal, other than, you know, what we're known for, you're going to run up the Rocky Steps, you're going to go to the Liberty Bell, you're going to get a cheesesteak. Sure. What other is the glaring things? Vegas, you're going to gamble. You're going to go to shows. You're going to you're going to go, like, you know, Hoover Dam, for real.
Yeah.
You know, golf. There's all kinds of entertainment options.
Could we dam up the Delaware River?
You know, nobody's considered that yet.
I mean, come on, stop and think about it.
Let's make a really huge dam and we'll get more tourism in this city.
I mean, there's clearly something that's drawing all these acts to Vegas.
Yeah.
It's got to be proximity to a major dam.
Damn. There's a couple dams, too, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, we could flood out Trenton and, you know, have a nice attraction.
Absolutely. Trenton Water Park.
Well, what do they have? Isn't there the Trenton Island or the Trenton Peninsula or something
is
like that.
Is there?
Yeah.
It's like an island in the river?
It's like, no, it's
You're
like
thinking of the mountains of Trenton.
It's called something, and I had it in news or sport.
We talked about it one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Thunder Road's there. We know
Thunder
that.
Road
we
is
know
there. That. It is That's there. Right. By the ballpark.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, anyhow.
Have you heard they got plans to dam up the Delaware River?
Blink-182 has joined the relief efforts for the horrific Australian wildfires by launching a new collection of T-shirts for sale.
Proceeds from the shirts are going to go towards Australia Zoo, an organization providing medical help and rehabilitation to sick, injured, and displaced wildlife in the country. Bassist Mark Hoppus tweeted shortly after the shirts went on sale that the band had already received over $20,000 after the first 24 hours. So they're doing what they can.
Saw a picture yesterday of, I guess there's a tournament going on down in Australia, and one of the participants, a tennis tournament, had to stop because of the, she was overcome with the residual smoke from the.
No kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't doubt it, man. There was a story I was going to have it in the Bizarre File, but it was I had it last week and never got to it, of a woman who got off a plane where there was still so much smoke lingering, and she already had some lung issues and freaking died after she got out and breathed the air for
Jesus.
A while. Oh, man. I weren't 100% sure if that's what caused it, but there was definitely a.
And a car hit her.
Contributing factor besides the car hitting her and running over her. I think
three times.
Smoke definitely made her uncomfortable right before that. It disoriented her, and yes. She walked into oncoming traffic.
Oh, my God.
She's dead.
Yeah, I know. It's a tragedy. Nick, it's not lost on Nick.
All four Ghost album covers are being adapted into 500-piece jigsaw puzzles for release by the UK-based puzzle company Z Productions.
That's a great news for you. All the albums are now going to be jigsaw puzzles. Isn't that fun?
The outfit has previously issued puzzles of Metallica, Rush, Iron Maiden, Slayer, Judas Priest, and Motorhead albums. I'm gonna have to get a Rush jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah. I had the idea of doing a Preston Steve jigsaw puzzle.
You did.
We could do that.
Yeah. 933-piece puzzle, maybe.
Not a bad idea.
I hate jigsaw puzzles.
Do you really?
I do.
Why?
I hate him.
He hates board games.
You do hate a lot of like things.
However,
yeah.
Did you see? I saw a commercial.
It's his ADD. That's why.
You're exactly
that's
right.
That's what it's got to be.
Preston, there's a commercial on now, and I believe it's real, for Speed Monopoly, a Monopoly game that takes you play in under 10 minutes.
Would you play?
I might try it just to see if it bites all the stuff that I hate about.
Well, years ago, I told you guys about a faster version of it where they skip a lot of the fine details.
Well, I think this board is specifically designed for the game in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You pass go, you lose.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
The Ghost LP covers being turned into puzzles are 2010's debut opus eponymous. It's 2013 follow up Infestissumum. 2015's Millennium.
I almost said FU. I almost just actually said the word.
Meliora and 2018's prequel.
That's a mouthful of crap.
Yep, so you can get puzzles now. Jigsaw puzzles.
Jigsaw puzzles. And then we're going to do Ghost Hungry Hippo.
The artwork is pretty cool. It's the kind of thing is when if I was, you know, 15 or 16, I would be I'd be digging that and hanging it on the wall.
It's along the lines of some old Black Sabbath posters.
Yeah.
I remember
the exact
seeing.
Same thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then one last story, Guns N' Roses guitarist Richard Fortus was asked in a new interview with Forbes about both the chances of hearing new music in the band's live show later this year, as well as new recordings. Fortus responded, "We love bringing new songs in. We always rehearse stuff up. It's just a matter of everyone sort of feeling comfortable to integrate it into the show. And I hope that we have new music coming out this year." Guns N' Roses, by the way, nearly 4 years into the reunion with Axl, Slash, and Duff.
It's working, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I think they probably just stay separate from each other and just play the show and then split.
Well, you know, the money certainly is a draw.
Well, you gotta
motivator.
Do.
Right.
Yep.
The catering for Axl.
Yeah. Of course. They'll hit the road again this year, playing South America in March and European festival circuit during the late spring and summer as well. And that's what I have music news for. Yes, Kath.
Okay, so the island is a neighborhood in the city of Trenton. So it's the island neighborhood of Trenton.
Is it actually in the water, though?
It's just called
like Venice?
The island.
I gotcha.
No, it's primarily a residential neighborhood consisting of detached single-family homes.
Oh. Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. We'll get the letter of the day for the word of the week, see what Pierre's got in store for you. And that stuff will be right around the corner, so stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Weezer. Fozzy. Dirty Honey.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
93.3 WMMR. Stone Temple Pilots, Wicked Garden. Look at the pictures. I don't know where did these pop up. It was old pictures of the Camp Out for Hunger when Scott came out and spent some time with us. Was it, were you sharing those, Case?
So there's a guy named Darren Leary who... used to work for CNA. Remember that?
Remember that. Yeah.
And Lou Tilly worked there.
Yeah.
Lou Tilly.
Connie Cola.
Yeah. That's right.
And the Tillyettes.
What about him?
So he had sent some footage over from a camp out from years and years ago. I can't remember. It was the same year that I shaved the male pattern baldness into my head.
It was at Plymouth Meeting.
Plymouth Meeting was
Were we watching video of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And. Yeah, so Casey reveals his Dr. Phil haircut, which is still one of my all-time favorite moments on the Preston Steve Show ever. But Scott seemed so happy, and it was sad to go back and watch that because we were really excited to meet him, spend some time with him. He was a very nice guy, very conversive, but he also had that rock star vibe about him that made him so cool. He had he's wearing wild clothes and stuff, and but he was just, he seemed so happy, you know? I mean, it was...
It just sucks.
Yeah, it does.
It's all you can say.
Yeah. 10:36 on this Tuesday morning, as we're about ready to wrap up the program. I would like to thank the Geeter with the Heater.
Yeah!
For
today.
Jerry Blavid stopped in, and his disco rock and roll soul show is coming up at the Kimmel Center on the 25th. And you can get tickets at KimmelCenter.org. And the Geeter was in fine form today.
The boss with hot sauce.
That's the one. And he says there'll be lots of dancing, good times. You can hang out with him before, after the show. He's just one of those guys. He stays at the party, the whole party.
Yeah.
So it's cool having him by. And his good friend, Pierre Robert, is here today.
These shows are so worth going to, even if, you're the metalist metalhead. All music is interconnected, as we talk about a lot. And
except for Rupert Holmes, we found out.
Except for Rupert Holmes. Rupert Holmes came from another world, and it was a hostile alien world.
But we don't...
Hostile? Hostile, yeah.
We don't speak his name, right?
Their intention was to conquer and eliminate the entire populace of the Earth.
There's no room for that.
Do it one pina colada at a time.
So is he whose name we shall not speak?
Yes.
Now Rupert Holmes. Pull some more to the yacht rock.
Rupert Mort.
Oh, my God.
That is
too
funny.
Anyway, these shows are so much fun. Mm. And it opens, as Jerry mentioned, with the orchestra, but he comes out and sings a number or two.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, he's the opening act, so the orchestra strikes up. And then he comes out and does at least one, sometimes two songs, and sometimes a little dance with that.
It's like an old-time review.
It is.
Right?
It's
very
much so.
I love that.
That's a great perspective, and that's exactly what it is, because the orchestra backs up every act that comes on.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys are on these circuits that'll tour. They have three or four or five hits, so six or seven of these bands will perform at a Keswick Theater kind of a thing, or these rolling reviews, so they have the same band. That way each, group comes out. But it's so uniquely done. Jerry has no less than seven costume changes between each time he comes out. He has, beautiful suits, flashy, wild suits, outfits like, custom designed for him. He's quite a wild, absolute, there's nobody like him.
Yeah.
When he came to my rock and roll, and I'm glad that you enjoyed my speech. Glad that was referenced into the conversation. That I'll never live down. But that's all right. Because F them. It's done.
you're the one who's in it.
Yeah, I'm the one who's in it. They're so not. What are they going to do now? Tell me to stop talking? Move along. Beat it, creep. Yeah. But I say that with love. But the way these things are presented is so much fun, and the costume changes, and then he comes out and he introduces each band. Then they come out and sing three or four of their hits, and then Geeter comes on with another outfit, and he goes, "But wait, wasn't there that song in 1955 when you were down at the hot dog stand, you know, and you saw the girl? Oh, yes, Geeter, we forgot about that one." And then they go into that one, nice. The big, big one.
Yeah.
And last year there's a break, and so last year I was there, and I went backstage at halftime to see him and kiss the ring and pay respects to the great man. By the way, he rode his bicycle over to the outdoor induction ceremony.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think he told us his age, and I think it's 77, 78,
it's
79.
Amazing. He's in phenomenal shape.
He's in phenomenal shape. He rides his bicycle all over town. And when you go to dinner with him, he brings his own wine. He will not accept the wine of any restaurant. Mm-hmm. He brings his own wine, no matter how. I mean, it could be Le Bec Fan, and back in the day, he would bring his own wine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's halftime, and I go kiss the ring and say, and I'm always enjoying the shows. And he goes, "Wait, wait, wait, get me the orchestra director." And he brings the orchestra director in, and he goes, "Where's the timpani, the big drum roll thing?" I go, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You're going to go out and introduce me for the second half." And I go, I think that's too much. I don't think I first of all, I am not worthy. I'm not worthy. And he goes, "Yes. Now, this is what we'll do. Timpani. I want a timpani giant drum roll for Pierre." And I go, "I think that's too much." "No, that's the way we're going to do it. You get a drum roll. Then you come out. Then you talk for a bit. Then you bring me out." I go, "Okay." So the drum roll kicks up, the lights come down, and out go I, much to the shock of his audience, I'm sure. And I'm going, "Don't worry, this is not a terrorist taking over the Kimmel Center. I just happened to worship this great man, and I introduced him, and he came out, and that was quite unexpected."
Nice.
So. It's they're so much fun. It's a week from Saturday. You got to go.
Next one's on the 25th, so get your tickets. We're going to do the letter. You ready?
Yes.
It is.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
A as in art.
All right, and we have two letters. You're going to need five altogether before it makes a word. That'll be on Friday. We have an overnight stay at the Ocean Casino Resort in Atlantic City. Dinner for two. Two tickets to see Aaron Lewis. Saturday, May 30th at Ocean's Ovation Hall. And tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. For more information about this and other shows at Ocean Casino Resort, you can visit their new and improved website, theoceanac.com. You have to be at least 21 years of age or older to win that. What's happening on program today, Saw?
Well, we'll have another $1,000 opportunity coming at 11 and another at 1. Jackson again at 4 and 6 p.m. Then that's our easy money. Then we've got Workforce Blocks, which would be cool for Dave Grohl's birthday, obviously, Foo Fighters. And we've got Kings of Leon, one of the Fighting Fallowell brothers and cousins, have a birthday. I think it's Caleb we'll get to. And then you had referenced, and I'm glad you did. I meant to get to it yesterday, but I also did another block of Rush yesterday, which I had wanted to do with some of the songs you and I didn't get to on Sunday. So I didn't get to it yesterday, but Jerry Stevens, you had referenced with Jerry Blavitt, was our original, apparently, program director, our very first MMR program director. And he's the voice you hear on a lot of the vintage station IDs.
Really?
Yeah. So when you hear, like, the Wizard of Oz ID, you go, "The radio station."
How about the cruise ship?
Yes, he's that voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, he's the voice on almost all of those. Not Gene Shea was the voice on some of the other ones. But Jerry Stevens did a lot of those. And so I thought I would do, and yesterday's the anniversary of the very first radio broadcast. So I thought I'd do a little block of radio songs and some of our vintage IDs in there, which I'd
Excellent.
Like to throw in on a regular basis because they connect us with where we've been.
I love it. Cool. Excellent. All right. Let me see. I need to mention this. Today's Tat Tuesday. We got a winner.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to mention.
Tat.
Our winner is from Boyertown, and it is that Ruth Casey? Ruth Carnes.
Hey, Carnes.
I looked up the word Carnes.
And what does it mean?
Carne, like I was, you know, like chili con carne and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It means the meat from an animal. Sorry, Pierre.
From an animal.
No, it's actually a carny worker.
Oh, okay. It's one of those guys. Yeah. Well, that's even worse.
Toothless ex-convict.
Ruth Carnes from Boyertown gets a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. By the way, the 22nd annual Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention is coming this weekend only to the Pennsylvania Convention Center. You can visit villainarts.com. Yes, Marissa.
Yes, I will be. This is Casey, by the way, speaking for Marissa.
Casey is holding his finger up like Marissa does when she has something to say.
She does a cheese curl.
She does.
No, but I, Casey boy, will be at the tattoo convention on Friday night. I'll be there from like 4 to 6, kind of hanging out. If you've never been to anything like this, go, because it's not just a bunch of people and, you know, getting tattoos and tattoo booths. I mean, there's like,
it's not your grandmother's tattoo convention.
It is not. There's sideshow stuff. The first time I ever walked into one, there was a person being suspended from like meat hooks in their back.
What?
Oh, God.
So yeah. Pretty
it's,
cool.
It's a lifestyle. I think it's awesome. I think the stuff you always see lined up is amazing.
And if you're a fan of like Ink Masters and stuff like that, I mean the most famous popular tattoo artists do come here for that, and you can get tattooed by them.
Me here.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So you'll be there what day?
4 to 6 on Friday.
All right.
I want to get tattooed.
What are you going to get?
Seriously.
Yeah, but I don't know how to find one. I went to that one year, and it was like overlmelming. There were so many.
We have connections.
Styles.
Yeah, we have an idea. Really good artists.
I want a half moon.
Okay.
Why don't you get a big pina colada on your back?
That a half moon with a pina colada.
I want to get a tattoo of Pierre with a half moon on my back. That's what I'll get.
All right. Okay. More on that later.
But you should get one though. The state of the art in tattoos now is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention we have a new Daily Rush video. It is it's Nell on the Brady Bunch. The description is Jodie Foster was almost cast as Cindy Brady. You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club Restaurant and Bar. Thank you to our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme Fresh Foods, local flavors, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And also by HERS, the official snack food of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow on the program, it's Wednesday, we go live on Fox. Good day. Todd Glass will be here.
All right.
And apparently we're going to be sticking Todd with needles tomorrow.
What?
I kid you not.
He's going to get IVs and stuff.
Okay. So that's great. I was going to say we'll have details tomorrow.
He's going to get meat hooks in his back. We're going to be suspended from the ceiling.
And comedian Nick Thune, another great comic who will be here tomorrow. So it's going to be a fun day. Make sure that you are with us. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
2,020 years of evolution, and for some reason we can't have tongues spread germs. It's amazing.
Next message.
Just driving down 422 East, saw a billboard that said, Long live the king. No perk. Rest in peace. Much love for whoever put the money out to put that up, man.
Next message.
It's Romano. He's a beautiful, intelligent woman. But after this morning's conversation about the germ, I am firmly sure that this bitch is crazy.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.